Last time on the Don and Mike Show.
30-year-old teacher was suspended 2 years ago for writing lusty love notes to a 13-year-old male student.
He was a whore.
How come I never got these teachers?
Oh, good man.
There's a couple of teachers at my son's school. I'd like to bang them right now.
That'd be immoral, but it would be okay.
Did I mention the teachers that turned me on? They're male?
Well, that's different.
His shop teacher, his history teacher.
Is he dreamy?
Oh.
All right, the Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
This is the son of a beat.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free.
That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I was talking about other goals that maybe he has and things that you have to do in life to show other people in the world. You know, it just doesn't function around Arizona, this business. So if I said that and he didn't like it, that's Tusky. He comes in and tells me one thing and does another. Whether he likes what I say or don't say, don't go out and tell Mike Jarecki. Come in and tell me.
Incredible!
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Incredible!
Ah, ladies and gentlemen, it is an incredible time when I get to say to you, FedEx Field, stadium announcer, Robert Jonathan, Hawk Buying.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I don't know if it's the weather or the time of year or what it is.
Yeah.
I just miss John Pond.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Applique.
Incredible!
There it is. Not anymore because we have him.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Applique and all the ships at sea.
You're not going to believe this.
And now, to write another chapter in the Book of Mike, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Thank you, Robbie, and hello for listening. Nationwide, coast to coast, via the auspices of Westwood One.
Yeah.
New episode, and it's Tuesday. September 26th. Phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh.
All right, thank you, Timmy. Let me translate there. Toll free hotline to the hits, 877-365-3636.
All right.
Before we start with the show, I have an important announcement to make.
Yes.
You notice what I'm wearing today?
You are wearing a Redskins pullover with the Redskins logo over the left breast.
Wow.
And you are underneath it wearing a Redskins mock turtleneck.
With a Redskins logo on it.
With a Redskins logo on it. Like any good Redskins fan would.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, why?
Why would you do that?
Why would I flip like that?
Why, Don?
Only if someone in the Redskins family, and not who you think.
Danny.
Okay, not him. Farther down the list, but not much farther down. Only if that person,
well, I don't want to say a lot,
was
to maybe call at home and ask for my support.
Wow.
Ask for some public support for the
Somebody
team.
Wanted you to be a little more positive about the hometown team?
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, we had other issues to discuss, but it got around to...
And you've decided, obviously, to take heed.
Listen, you know, when the man calls and says, listen, I'd appreciate it if you were a bit more supportive of the team.
Well, and to be honest, I mean, you're... tweaking it up for the show when you're doing that whole they're dead to me.
Well, they pissed me off and they were dead
I know
to
they
me.
Pissed you off, but I know you like them.
Well, they were dead to me, but you know what? They've been resurrected now.
They were alive. So now you are going back. They are your team again.
Well, yeah. They're my team again. Hey, Don, how you doing?
How's everything going?
How you doing? Boy, you really use that support.
Good.
You know, what the hell?
Well, good. Then I'm glad you're back with the Redskins family.
What the hell? He's a nice man, yeah. and I got to eat a big S sandwich because I swore, you know, that I would never root for the Redskins again. But
now you're back when the man talks to you.
Mike, the Republicans asked me to step forward.
Mm-hmm.
I step forward, okay?
They're coming back, too, in the polls.
When the main man with the Redskins asked me to step forward, I step forward.
Right.
Today, when Candace Bushnell picks me out,
yes,
as the man who took her to her prom, right. I will once again,
yes,
step forward.
Thank you for identifying my number one anxiety
today. Listen, today's show's jam packed. We
got a lot going on the show today. I am filled with anxiety on today's show. I don't mind telling you.
Yeah, I mean it's weird. It's weird. JB, our friend James Brown from Fox NFL Sunday, coming on to talk about something or other. Who cares? He's always a good guest.
Yep.
And also, I think he's a phoner. I don't think he's coming in today, even though he lives in the D.C. area.
Right.
However, coming into the studio today is former lovemate of Mike's.
Not true.
Candace Bushnell.
Yes.
The girl who, incidentally, does everything at the prom.
But now stop it. Now, you said you were going to back off on that.
She's not here yet.
She's probably like in a car listening to this right now.
Not a chance she's listening.
Well, I'm filled with nervousness. You could make this a little more easy for your part.
Just in case she's listening.
Difficult enough day. Would be a day if you'd said nothing, it would be a hard day for me.
Candace Bushnell. Mike says you did it.
No, I didn't.
You did it all.
No, I didn't. And she'll know that I wouldn't say that. I don't know if she might know. It's been 24 years.
So anyway.
I think it's really been 24 years since I saw her. I think I didn't see her after she graduated.
What's so great is this is the girl, Candace Bushnell, who invented Sex in the City.
Thanks.
Right? That popular HBO show that some of us watch. And
yeah, she was somebody who actually paid attention in English class, I guess.
Mike took her to the prom back in high school.
Cool.
And
she was a year older. She was, she was a senior. I was a junior.
She's coming in today.
And I'm nervous. I don't even know if she could pick me out of a lineup. We're going to find out.
Yes. We're going to have a lineup.
I mean, 24 years, people change. And believe me, I've changed.
We're going to have me, Mike, Buzz, Wendell.
Right. That's the lineup, right?
And we're going to pull one more wild card from the staff.
Good. Okay.
To stand in line. And Rob's going to be at the microphone when she comes in, so nobody can speak. We're all going to be standing against the wall.
Are we all going to stand right along here?
No, against the wall, but right back there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to say, Candace, which one of these gentlemen is Mike O'Mara, who took you to the prom 22 years ago?
Now, in the office, you said I couldn't give her, like, a secret. I don't have, like, what do you think, I have a secret wink or something like that?
You can't look at her knowingly like, hey... Maybe.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
It's me. It's a lineup.
Yeah.
We're all just standing.
So get it like that with my eyes wide and just my head cocked to the right like this.
Arms at our side. Mm-hmm. We're just going to be standing there. And Candace Bushnell is going to... I told you, you got nothing to worry about. She's going to pick you out of the lineup.
I don't know. I really don't know. Because, I mean, I've gained about, 50 pounds.
What if everyone got to wink? What if everyone got to wink and point to themselves? It would be more entertaining, I think, if everyone was just, like, pointing to themselves and winking and making high signs and stuff.
I don't think we need to do that. I'd like to be a little dignified today.
You know what? That might not be a bad idea. That is, as Rob says, is
her
a guy...
Why don't we all just... No, it would be... Excuse me. It would be easier for her to pick out the right one, and I'm worried whether she'll be able to do again if we just were quiet next to the wall. We just stood next to the wall. Because if you're animated, she might remember some gestures that I had.
I want some of your famous.
My famous when I used to do the spaz guy.
I'm the
spaz guy. Right. I don't know what to expect. You know, I don't know if she's even going to care that we went to a prom together.
Oh, sure.
She's a big, highfalutin New York City author.
That is the thing. This is why I'm trying.
She's like with a guy, you know, in London now. She has homes in London and New York.
I was telling him before the show today not to worry about this because...
If you were going to see somebody that you hadn't seen, even if they were a casual friend in 24 years, it would be just a little, you know, you would be a little filled with anxiety.
Maybe a combination, but a good anxiety.
Yeah, it's a very good
anxiety.
Not a bad
anxiety. Because,
yeah, sure. I mean, we're all proud of her in my hometown that she's gone on to bigger and better. You know, she's got the kind of, you know, fame and fortune that the town is proud of.
I'm looking at a picture of her right now. I can't.
She doesn't call her mother and say, Mom, there's a rumor we might be coming to an affiliate in Hartford. And then here's stone silence on the other end of the line.
I'm looking at a picture of her right now. I cannot believe that you did all those things to her.
Now, don't do that. Now,
lovely.
That's terrible.
I can't believe
nothing
that.
Happened. We didn't have any contact sexually at all high school.
You saw her?
No.
Totally naked?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
No, I
totally
did not.
Totally naked?
Absolutely not.
First ever anal experience.
Now stop. Stop.
Listen,
what ended
in the office was the truth. I said, think back. And Buzz, think back if they had proms back when you went to school.
Oh, yeah, they did.
When you got in your pa's buggy and carriage and you rode off to the little one-room school.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody remembers the face of the person they went to the prom.
You know, you
absolutely
asked me that, and I remember the two other dates that I went to three proms when I was in high school, and I remembered the two other girls that I took to the prom. I was saying to you that I would remember her because she's getting so much publicity right now, but then when I thought about it...
You'd remember her anyway, and
probably would, yeah.
And it doesn't matter how freaking famous she is.
She's real nice. We were actually in theater together.
Ah, you're still a guy who took her to a prom. She will remember you. Mm-hmm. She will...
You know,
she'll pick you out of the lineup.
I forgot to bring in the picture. You know what? Maybe it'd be better if I brought in the picture. I don't even know if I have the picture. I think the picture might be at home.
You know,
but the picture was, seriously, I wore... Do you remember in the 70s, they weren't regular jacket sizes, and they weren't like white tie and tails jackets. They were kind of halfway down. They were sort of semi-long.
Yeah, sure.
I wore that, a black tuxedo. I wore a red, blood red... ruffled shirt with black stripes on it, you know, the black piping that's on that,
right,
with one of those 70s oversized bow ties. I mean, I seriously looked like Dracula, and she wore a black dress. I remember that. She wore a black dress.
You know, it might even be better is if we lined up four guys and didn't include you. And we had you out of the room.
No.
And then we said to her, which one is Mike? And she would say, oh, Mike!
No.
Guy number three.
I want to be in the lineup.
All right.
It would be horrible. if you said it was one of them was me, she'd pick somebody out, and then I'd just feel rotten.
No hints, though.
No, I won't give her any hints.
No hints at all.
All right.
For Candace Bushnell.
I have not read her... her latest book, because her
shock.
Well, I took it home because you remember we got the advanced copies of it, and I took it home and I looked at it. It looks like a book for women.
Well, you just scanned it for your name, and as soon as your name was nowhere in the book,
I'm hoping that this story will be in the book in her next book. You know,
maybe it will.
I know a lot of times when I read the newspaper, that's how I read the newspaper.
I'm looking for your name.
I just, as long as my name's not there,
oh, yeah.
I'm happy. It's
that's
like,
how I read the radio column.
It's great. Okay, no mention. Beautiful. Good. Let's move on.
Well, all her, you know, neat stuff took place in New York, like many years later, when she was like a grown woman.
I'm sure that
if she wrote a book about our experiences in high school, there would be nothing there because there was no contact. I reiterate that.
I am sure that there are some experiences
she probably had
from high school that must draw on to her show Sex in the City.
Yeah, but unfortunately not mine. Yeah, maybe some of the quirky characters.
Listen,
like me.
I don't know how long I'm going to let you go with this charade.
Now stop it. Now you're really working me on
this grand charade that, I didn't do anything with her.
I didn't. I've said that from the beginning.
Please. Okay. It was...
Do you think everybody that went to a prom together did it?
Yeah, well...
There are lots of people that went to proms that didn't do it.
But you did.
No, I did not.
And you did it
now
with
you're
Candace
getting,
Bushnell.
Now you're getting bad. Now you're starting to get me mad. Now you're starting to make
all
it
right.
A real lie.
Right,
and I don't like that. I don't like that at all. You're looking at me like you're going to make it a real lie thing. No. No. I know you. Just turn. I've had to watch him like a hawk on this stuff. I've had to, you know, the other day when I was, hey, the girl who likes anal, you know, and it's just, you know, then it goes...
You know, I'm going to say something to her when she comes in.
You can say something as long as she leaves here with knowing that what the truth is. That's all I care about.
You know, she knows the truth, yes. And you know the truth.
Right, yeah, but I mean,
that is, in fact, the truth.
But if you say that Mike has been saying, you're driving me nuts. You can't help yourself. You can't help yourself.
I said, Candace, when your show first came on, he called me up in a meeting and said, hey, you see the girl Carrie? She's based on the girl who I banged.
That's not true.
I banged in Glastonbury, Connecticut.
Oh, my God.
She'll find that amusing, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
Listen, you know.
I know you'll be
okay. I'm your buddy. I'll be fine when she gets here.
Look at me. I've been thinking about this all day.
You know, why else would I not do that? Look at this. Look at the reaction.
It's fun. I know. It's fun. I'm giving you exactly what you want.
Right.
You know, this is just, I've been thinking about this for a while. Everybody's been busting my balls about this. I'd go back into the back room and they'd have like something to eat back there and I'd grab a chip or something. And both Lisa and Charlie would say, hey, don't eat that. Candace won't recognize you.
You know, this is not just you. Everybody said to you last week when you started your diet,
right?
Wow, a little too late to start that diet for Candace Bush now.
I know, you're a little late on the trigger on that one.
I just look her in the eye and say, Candace.
Oh, God, here we go.
The first time Mike told me about you.
Oh, no.
How gently your hand
stop it.
Went round and round his buttocks.
Oh, stop it.
Stop it, you. Until gently.
The first thing I'm going to say is everything he tells you is a lie.
Until gently you nudged your way in.
Stop it.
Oh, my God. Oh, come on. I'm just having fun.
I know.
I'm just having fun.
When's she coming? When's she going to be here?
Couple hours. Less than that now. Hour and a half.
Why couldn't she be at the beginning of the show? Why couldn't we just get this over with?
Because it's more fun to have her at the middle of the show.
I was going
to
wear my high school clothes, but unfortunately I tried them on and I broke right through the jacket. I look like a chimp.
You're probably like Tommy Boy.
Wait, put that like Curly's jacket from the Three Stooges?
All right, well listen, we'll let you chill for a while. She'll be here in about an hour and a half. We'll have the lineup. Then, you know, we'll put her through the entire workout. Good. And then we'll find out about her TV show and her book and, you
good.
Know.
Good.
And like at Life After Mike.
You know, this could be an opportunity, though, for you and I to be included in the next book. You know, she could make it up. It's all fiction, right? A lot of the stuff she writes. So we could actually say, how about writing about two disc jockeys? You know, there you go. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Shut up, all you.
Okay. We didn't say anything.
I know, y'all just gave me that look.
We didn't say anything.
Yeah, sure, Mike. Yeah, okay, Mike.
I think you got a better chance that she writes about two high school kids who go out and gently one of them traces the other's buttock with their...
It's always the butt with you.
Yeah, hand.
Get away from the butt.
And then all of a sudden, boom!
The nasty spot.
There it goes.
Boom.
Okay.
Don't think you worked your fantasies into this.
All right. Listen, I'm going to change the topic here for
Thank
a second.
Thank God.
Oh, and that's how Buzz reads obits.
What?
Oh, I got. Oh, okay. That's a Rob joke.
Oh.
When we were talking about looking in the newspaper,
right? Oh,
and as long as our name's not there, we're fine.
Okay.
That was Rob's joke. That's how Buzz reads obits.
That's correct. Just looks for his name every day, and if he's not in there, he comes to work.
He's very happy.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to tell you about a CF of the highest regard, and that is. I know we've talked about it before, the Department of Motor Vehicles. Mm. I spent an hour and a half at DMV today trying to get the plates for the new Caddy.
Right.
Because, you know, we bought...
How come they didn't mail them to you from the dealership?
Well, because we bought it in Maryland.
Well, you have to get them in Virginia.
And we live in Virginia, so you have to, you know, re-register and do all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a large amount of the problem when you go to DMV. And I don't want to single out any group of people, any... ethnicities, just, and it was people of all shapes, sizes, and colors, okay?
Right.
But the problem is that when one person in a family, apparently in this day and age, when one person in the family needs something at DMV,
mm-hmm.
whether it be to go in for the driving license test, or to get new plates,
right.
or to get your registration, it's a family event.
Mm-hmm.
It's a family affair. Meaning that... just the one person can't go.
Right.
That person has to have six or seven people from their family who are there with him.
Now, would this be a younger person, though? Would this be like the first driver's license?
No. They were not like that. Mike, it was 11 o'clock in the morning. All the kids were in school. These are all adults.
All right.
Okay? I walk in DMV. Let me rephrase that. I stand outside DMV because that's where the information line is.
That's
okay?
Right.
You can't even get help until you first go to the information line at DMV.
Reggie White says you can get 8 or 9 people living in the same room.
I'm standing outside, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's Tuesday. It's 11 o'clock. Why is there such a line? When suddenly I realize that aside from me and maybe one or two other people, everybody else there has brought their entire family with them to go through the process. So actually, there's only about 12 people in line. But because each person has brought 5 or 6 people with them, it's become a giant mob scene.
Right. And one line, you know, and they're all standing in line.
Yeah, and, you know, okay, a lot of them are speaking different languages.
Yes, that's all right.
You know, I'm wondering how they're going to possibly pass whatever the tests are, because, you know, it's apparent they don't speak the language, but...
Don't they offer the tests in Spanish?
There were languages besides Spanish, Mike.
It's almost all pictures now, so you don't have to speak any language.
Ah, very good.
There was a lot of dotheads there today. There was a lot of, you know... girls wearing saris there today. There was your Chinese family there today. There was, of course, there was, you know, a big group of Mexicans there today.
Were there any Irish families, like all with bright flame red hair?
No. There
wearing like Wahyu shillelaghs.
There were none. So I waited in this line, in this information line. No BS. 25 minutes just to get up to the very...
God, the information line at DMV?
Yeah, to get up to
the
part...
That's like the preliminary. That's before you have to wait.
Right. To get up to the part where I want to just say to the lady, hi, I bought a new car. I need to switch the tags from my old car to the new car.
Which one did you go to, just out of curiosity? Did you go to the one off of 28?
Nope.
That's the one you got to go to.
Nope, I went
to... It's the hardest one to find. It's almost impossible to find, but when you find it, there's nobody there. And it's the one that's in our area that's right in ground zero as far as the heavy population, and you still don't have to worry about it.
I went to the one in Sterling, Virginia, which is not... You know where it is, Buzz.
Yes,
it's right
absolutely.
By where you used to live, right?
Right.
By that Taco Bell there.
Mm-hmm.
It is not... like you said... It's not like they got a giant sign outside that says, here's the DMV. It's hidden behind a post office.
Right.
It's hidden behind a Safeway.
Right.
It's tucked away. I wait in line all this time. I finally get up to the girl. I give the girl my information. She says, okay, here's what you need to do. She says, I need to see if the registration for the temporary registration from Maryland has gone through into the Virginia computer.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I'm going to give you a number. Just in case we can do your paperwork today,
mm-hmm.
So you go have a seat. And the way it looks right now, you will probably only have to wait about 50 minutes to see somebody.
Oh, my God.
So I said,
okay. You're already at the hour and a half mark.
I said, okay. So now I got the information. I mean, I've got my little number, and I'm going to try to find a place to sit. However, there are no seats. And the reason there are no seats are because there are these... There was one gypsy family. That's the only way to describe them.
All right.
They looked like gypsies. There was one of them who was getting his driver's license, and I counted 9 people from this guy's family.
Just hanging out.
We're surrounding him in the chairs around there.
He may be the first one. He may be the one who's going to have the driver's license. That's really why they all might be there.
Right. And they were absolutely mystified by the fact that they announce, B218, please go to section number 8.
Mm-hmm.
B219, please go to section number 9. I mean, they got it all computerized.
Yeah, that's the new modern way that they do it.
Well,
efficient.
This family was lost. Every time that they announced one of these numbers, all of these gypsies would put their heads together, and it was like they were playing the lottery or something. They would look down, and it's real simple. They give you a digit and 3 numbers.
And like, they not only announce it, but it's up on a little LCD up there.
Yes, it is, but it moves very quickly.
Right.
Because when they go right from B19, go to gate number 8, they immediately go B220.
Right.
Go to gate number 10.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is... You got the gypsy family, and I know I can see, because I'm standing over their shoulder, they've missed their turn. They miss the turn because they announce it and immediately... Oh,
they couldn't process where to go.
Right. And, you know, the women are wearing the... they're all got scarves on and stuff. And I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Family of gypsies.
Tambourines.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely buzz. Animals. All kinds of stuff in there.
Carts.
So they miss the spot. And at this point, being as I've been there so long, and I'm just thinking it's a CF, I actually went over and I said, "Hi, excuse me." I said, B21, whatever the number was. I said, "Your number was called." I said, and they didn't speak much. I said, "Your number," I pointed my number, I said, "Your number called." And I told him to go up to the window.
Did you do that gesture?
Yeah, I did.
Go, go, go.
No, I was trying to help
you
him.
You know, some of those gestures might mean something completely foul in their home.
No, I said, "Your number."
Right.
Go, go, go right there. Go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is, I found at the DMV, if you don't jump off your ass immediately and go up when they call your number, they blow you off. So I send the family of gypsies up to window number 7. They get to window number 7. And again, they're all traveling in a group. It's just one guy, but it's 9 of them going up to the window. I see them standing there for a second, and then they turn, and all of their heads are down like this.
Oh.
And they're looking at me like this. And the mama comes over and gives me the little slip of paper, and she says something that I was like, I'm like, huh? And she goes, she looks so sad.
Yeah.
I don't know the language she was speaking. And then the other guy says, "They wouldn't take our ticket, man." And it was this guy who was with all of these gypsies.
Right.
But he's, I swear to God, he's talking to me. "They wouldn't take our ticket, man." Now, at this point, I don't know why I'm with this band of gypsies, but I said, "Well, let's go back and see what the deal is.
Let's go up and see."
Wow. So we go.
So you're
back.
Assisting the gypsy family?
Yeah, we go back to the window. Well, keep in mind, they were like B217. My number was B260 something.
You should have gotten a vanity plate that said G Samaritan.
I am miles away from ever being called.
Right.
We go back up to window number 7.
We're probably hoping at this time that maybe they'll just take you.
Where, incidentally, there's a lady who's had her number called in the meantime, and she's standing up there.
Right.
Now, this lady is pissed off because I walk up and I say, "Hi, excuse me. I'm not really with these people, but I'm kind of with these people. I noticed that their number was called, and they were not able to come up here in time." And the lady who was at the window, not the lady who was working, but the lady who was being served, she said, "Well, they missed their chance, and I'm here now. Can we go back to my choices again?" Oh. And what this woman is doing, this bitch is trying to get a personalized license tag.
Oh, God love her.
And she wanted, like, Mamie E... And they said, "No, that's not available."
Mamie Sunny.
And then she said, "Well, how about M-A-M-Y-E? I said, "Okay, M-A-M-Y-E. Now, I know you can do this crap on the web. You can go to a website.
Yeah, the website's fantastic because you can actually design your license plate, see the way it looks.
And see what personal plates are available. So I turn to the one English-speaking person in my tribe, and I said, "Hey, I don't know, I guess you missed your turn." And he goes, "Oh." And he turns around to all of them, and he passes it along to them, and they go, I mean, I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating.
It's a family tragedy.
They're upset.
They're mourning.
They're going to have to start all over again. They probably don't know that. They probably think that their chance is gone.
I got 8 of them who are upset.
They probably come from a country where you miss an opportunity like this, and you won't eat.
And in the middle of all of this, all of a sudden I hear my name called over the intercom, which never happens in this place.
And when your name's called over the intercom, doesn't it sound something like this?
"Mr. Scholarship Winner."
Yeah, that's what it is. All of a sudden I hear, right.
"Mr. Scholarship Winner, to the information window, please."
It's your turn.
"Mr. Scholarship Winner, to the information window, please."
Now keep in mind, that's not the number I've had. I'm being called back to the information line.
Oh, really?
So I go walking back over to the information line, the 100 or so people who are in line, they're pissed because I'm cutting in.
Right.
You know, I go, "Hi, they just called my name." And the girl looks at me and she says, "Hi, I just got the information back on the computer. We can't change your tags today." I said, really? Why? She said, because the information from the registration in Maryland has not passed through the Virginia computer system yet. That's why they gave you a 45-day temporary tag from Maryland. You should probably come back next week.
Oh.
And I said, okay, great.
See you later. There's nothing you can do at this point.
Great. I've been here over an hour now, and I'm effed. And at that point, the nine gypsies, I'm not even thinking about them.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking out the door, I hear them. And I turn around, and all I could think to do is to give them my ticket. Because I still had my ticket that was going to be called 20 to 30 numbers from then.
Unless the lady in information took you out of the system.
Well, I don't know if that happened.
Then those gypsies are still there.
I gave the gypsies my number.
Right.
And I pointed to that, to the readout, the digital readout. I said,
right.
B262.
Do you know, because you did that,
yeah,
you will now have good fortune for the rest of your life.
I think so.
Fate will smile on you due to the fact that you helped the gypsies, because they are capable of putting good curses and bad curses on people.
That's right.
And I mean, listen, besides the gypsies, there was all kinds of family. Who knew that going to the DMV was a goddamn social experience?
It is the greatest multicultural experience you will ever have. It always has been. I mean, I think it was years ago. I think that's the place where we are all equal. And, you know, where you really get to see every facet of American life. It's terrific.
Well, it was awful. They've tried a lot to modernize it.
They sure have. And, you know, usually they do pretty well, but you still have that information kiosk, which gives you the 25-minute wait.
And, you know, all the families and all the other crap, and it's just... It's a pain in the ass.
It'll be obsolete eventually when the internet really does take hold, because that we won't be there anymore. It won't be necessary.
And I was there for well over an hour today, and all the gypsy families coming in, and you know, and
I love that you call them gypsies.
I'll tell you, I did get one bit of pleasure though.
Yes,
the only bit of pleasure I got today was watching people who failed on their driver's
test. Oh, God.
Not the actual test, but the test where you have to go to the screen and press the button.
Yes.
Because for a while, when I was killing time before I talked to the gypsies, I was just standing over by the bathroom area in this DMV, which is where they give the test.
Right.
And I noticed that with great joy, they get on the same intercom system, and they go, Mr. Scholarship Winner, step up to the table for the results from your test, please.
Right.
Mr. Scholarship Winner. And he would, you know, some guy would come up, and I would just watch the body language and immediately know.
He's out.
Shut out.
He's toast.
Guy came in to get his license.
Well, that's good. They're protecting us from him.
Failed the test.
You know, pay attention. Learn the road signs. Not exactly, you know, most people could probably walk in and take that test without studying.
He's out.
It's very scary that people fail that day. You know, kids I feel bad for. If a kid's like, a 16-year-old kid is going to get their driver's license, that's a drag because they...
No, these were all adults, Mike.
The adults, good.
These were all adults. And for all I know, they went back, they got in their cars, and they drove away.
Yeah, they
drove away from DMV anyway.
Absolutely.
So that was my wonderful morning at DMV. And, you know, I told you the other day about how Frida has these goddamn lists of things for me to do.
Uh-huh.
You know, you would think that she has enough going on in her own life,
right,
that she wouldn't have to all the time obsess on the things that it is that I have to do.
Well, she's organizing your family, and so, you know, she can't cover it all, so she's got to give you the assignments.
Well, this was one of the things that I've been supposed to do for about a week now.
Okay.
So imagine my horror when I got out of the DMV. I pick up the phone, I call her, I immediately say the wrong thing to her. I say, hi, how are you? She says, great. Did you do it? Couldn't do it today. She didn't want to hear any of it.
Right.
She didn't want to hear about the gypsies. She didn't want to hear about the wait in line. She didn't want to hear about how you got to wait for the registration for the new car to make it through the Virginia system.
Just couldn't make it on time.
It was another failed mission that she had sent me on today.
Oh.
That's all it was. It was a failed mission.
What were you supposed to pick up some bread?
No, I had a couple of things I had to do today. I had to go to the doctor today. I had to do that. I had to go downtown and do some stuff today. You know, and in my mind, I did everything I had to do today. I did. I made it to the doctor appointment.
Right.
I made it to DMV. My fault I was shut out there.
Right.
I made it downtown. I did what I had to do downtown. I signed the papers that I had to do.
She's going
to
take away some of your responsibilities.
Yes. I think, well, she stripped me from the mouth. I'm less than a man already.
She takes care of a lot of things, doesn't she?
Yeah, she handles a lot of the biz. You know, it was a pisser because I said to her, listen, I was at DMV for over an hour today. I said, and listen how pathetic this is. I said, and this is the truth, I can go down to my car and show you. I got a note from the lady in the information line saying that they couldn't process the registration for the car because it's not in the system yet. And I got a phone number to call in Richmond, Virginia to check every day to see if the registration's in the system. And I got the form that the lady already half filled out.
Because your wife didn't think you'd taken that long in DMV?
Right, and because I knew that she wouldn't think that I took that long,
mm-hmm.
I went to the time and trouble of actually saying, and I had to come up with some elaborate line.
Can I get a note from my DMV lady?
from the woman behind the counter. I really came up with an elaborate lie. I said, you know what, I don't know when I'm going to be able to make it back again. And I love throwing this one on people. I said, because I'm such a busy executive, I may have to have my secretary come in to handle this for me sometime in the future. So could you just jot down real quickly the items that I have to do?
Uh-huh.
And she said, oh yes, absolutely, be more than glad to. You know, not really knowing all the time, she's just writing a note to my mommy.
secretary.
That said I was there and that they couldn't do it today.
So write a note for my secretary.
She very neatly wrote down, you know, call this number in Richmond as soon as they say it's ready, fill out this form. I've already started to fill out the form. Come down to the check for $20 and you can just change the tags from one car to the other.
So what type of vanity plate will you be getting? What will it say on your license plate as you change to a brand new one?
A-hole DJ.
A-hole DJ.
Jizz. J-I-Z.
There you go.
I don't think you could get J-I... Double Z.
Don't think so. You might have trouble with J-I-Z.
And I'm not gonna,
they're pretty vigilant about that kind of stuff.
I'm not going to get a vanity plate anyway. I've never gotten a vanity plate in my life, and I'm not going to get one now.
I had one years ago. You remember the one I have?
Fly Baby,
based on the Bob Hope impression. You know,
Fly Baby.
And I don't know why I put it on my car, but, you know, foolishly.
It was funny for a couple of days.
It was funny for a couple of days, but then all it was, you know, as far as police officers were concerned, were, hey, he likes to go fast.
Mm-hmm.
It was either that or people thought I was some sort of flyer. And then, you know, but I got stopped. It's like, okay, and I swear to God, it was like three or four times. Okay, Fly Baby, how you doing? First words out of the cop's mouth. All right, Fly Baby. I clocked you doing 68 in a 55 mile. Fly Baby, we're going to give you a ticket, Fly Baby. I guess you're not going to be Fly Baby anymore.
Fly Baby. The
stupidest thing I ever did.
Fly Baby. You know what I wonder? How people get away with the ones like, I know I've seen this one in either Virginia or D.C., six-pack, okay?
Right.
You've got on your license plate
that you're a drinker.
Six-pack.
Could be a six-pack of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I know, sure. But, you know, why not just put a sign on your car that says, hey, cops,
right,
pull me over.
I saw one the other day that was on, like, a Chevy Cavalier that said, too cute. And I pulled up next to it, and driving it was this, just this monster. And you know, you draw attention to yourself. You know, if you have a license plate that says, too cute, you're going to pull up next to the person and take a look. And I took a look, and it was like, it looked like, really, it looked like a Tom Gavin with a wig driving the car.
Or what about this one? You see one that says, L-U-V-K-I-D-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Love kids.
Yeah. I worry about people that have to put that on a license plate.
So you put the license plate? It's like a lady beating her kids with a ruler in the back seat.
Yeah,
like telling them all to shut up.
Love kids. You know, why does someone have to, you know, beware of people that have to put it on their license plate? That is very, very scary.
Or we could be, and I'm not going to mention her name.
Right.
But a certain lady disc jockey, who I know and you know.
Yeah.
Elephantitis legs. Who had to put on her license plate.
Right.
Lady DJ.
Lady DJ and a guy we used to work with that got a job. This was the saddest part.
Are you talking about Mike Beach?
Yeah, Mike Beach got a gig in the afternoon at WAVA, and he immediately went out and got a license plate that said PM Drive.
Because it was the job he'd wanted all of his life.
Right? And, like, by the time he got the plates, he was fired. He had the plates for, like, 2 months, and then he was gone. PM Drive. On the back of a Cadillac he used to drive around. But he said it was Jimmy Carter's. I remember all this crap. I really do.
That's true. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, my name's Michelle. How are you?
Hi, Michelle. We're doing great, thank you.
I studied why in college these people travel in packs like they do. And the reason being that only one of them...
Why these people?
Okay, now listen, I wanted to make sure that I said it wasn't just the gypsies and it wasn't just the Mexicans. There was a plenty of African-Americans, plenty of the white devils that were there. Oh, and I'll tell you one of the other packs that was there today,
right?
Together. Senior citizens.
Oh.
Senior citizens.
Senior citizens don't travel in packs.
There was only one of them in line.
Right.
But there was four of them waiting for her.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unusual. Senior citizens rarely go in groups larger than two.
Well,
you,
I'm telling you.
Usually they travel in packs because one of them can only...
Wait a minute. You're saying they. Okay, you're just diving into to they.
Do you mean everybody who goes to DMV?
No, I just... certain ethnic groups.
I studied in college.
Because only one can speak English. The other usually has their driver's license. And the older people are usually with them too because they have nothing else to do because they cohabitate together also. And they have nothing else to do, so they go and they do all their errands together.
Mike, this woman, of course, graduated from Rob Spiewak University.
All right. Thank you, honey.
Bye.
Thank you.
Whatever. University of Spiewak.
But really, it's not an ethnic thing. It's not a thing about where you were from. Because all types of people were doing this today.
And it is the ultimate, you will agree, it is the ultimate multicultural experience in the United States.
Yes.
If you want to find out, you know, how other people from different lands that have just come to this country live, you go to DMV. You spend a day at DMV, will see... everyone. You will see people of all backgrounds.
True. Hello, Don, on my show.
Yeah, Don. My name is Bob. I work at the Alexander office off of Eisenhower.
Yes, sir.
And first of all, what you mentioned, number one, I want to say I love your show, but the thing is that you should have never even gotten past information because the lady at Info really messed things up big time. Number one, she should have, if she was able to look in the computer to see if your record was established, she should have never even given you a number.
Your record was
a total CF.
She told me that she didn't have time to look in the computer to see if the car's new registration had been pulled yet. So what I should do is take a number, and then by the time I get up there, they would figure it out.
That's a load of bull.
Well, because seriously, there was...
a serial number in 2 seconds and let you know if we'd have gotten the paperwork from the dealership and had done it already.
Well, I thought it was the right thing because, you know, there was 100 people in line behind me. And she said, let me just move this line along.
Because I know when I'm out at the info kiosk or whatever you want to call it, it takes just a couple seconds and... and one other thing, and that is that for the people who had missed their number and whatnot, I know when I'm working the counter, if somebody misses a number, which happens all the time, because we're instructed that if you don't see somebody get their butt up out of a chair when you call that number, hit the next number. But if somebody misses a number, I just tell them, hey, you know, relax, let me finish the guy at my window, and I'll get you squared away.
All right, well, that didn't happen today either. Of course, the person behind the counter didn't have a chance to say anything to the gypsy family because the fat pig who wanted, Milady or whatever she wanted on her license plate.
Right, right.
She wouldn't let him get a word in edgewise.
I hate vanity plates.
The poor gypsy family.
Fly Baby did it for me. That was my one foray into vanity plates. I've never gone back. I like the fancy plates that they give you. Like in Virginia, they give you a choice of like 4 and 5 different ones. I never get them because I just never pay attention to it. But they have different plates now in Virginia for like a variety of different things.
I think I'm going to get the penis and vagina plate.
Oh, that is a fantastic plate. It's got a cardinal on it, too, which is great.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Perch.
Hey, hello.
Yeah, if you miss your spot, I went one time, and if you go quietly to the information place, they will hand you a ticket that's probably about 4 or 5 numbers down the line, so you don't really lose a lot of space on that.
Oh, BS.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Listen, how do you quietly go back to the information line when there's 100 people in line?
Yeah, and here's a new number that's like further down the line. If it's further down the line, somebody's got that number.
No, I'm not kidding you. I was down at the one at Franconia.
Yeah?
And I had a little too much night the night before, and I had to get out of town. I didn't have my license and couldn't get on the plane.
Okay,
You're giving us a bio. Tell us about the number, please.
So I just went up to the guy and said, hey, look, I said they didn't call my number. And he looked at me and said, no, they always call every number. And I said, well, I didn't hear it. And he says, here, just take this one. And it was like about five more people down.
He was probably sweet on you.
Could be.
You right. probably got like special, you know, special consideration.
Hello, Don and Mike show. He's getting your gay vibe.
That's what I get at DMV all the time. I go right to the guys. Don't mess with the ladies. Go right to the guys because I always got my gay vibe happening. You know, and they'll just look at me and say, excuse me, where do I go to renew my tags?
Maybe it was just the women at the DMV I went to. But I thought most of them had penises also today. There was a lot of large marges.
Would you admit that it's better than it was? It's better than it used to be. It used to be, really, there were days, I remember in Maryland.
I can't say based on the women I saw working behind the counter today.
Right.
No.
In Maryland, I know in Virginia it's better than it was in Maryland. Right. In Maryland, I remember years ago it used to be, you'd have to give yourself like 2 hours to just go in there because the system was so antiquated. And I think there are more of them in our area.
No, so here's what I'm saying. I thought you were asking about physically about how the women behind the counter look.
Oh, no.
The system is much better.
Nothing has changed.
The women behind the counter,
right?
Our freaking beast.
One thing at a time.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You know why your show is so great to listen to?
Yes.
Because,
thank you.
Yes, we do.
Do you know why? Because even though you guys are famous and on the radio, you go through the same SH crap that us out here go through every stinking day. It's great to hear stories like that.
Thank you.
We're working on it, though. We'd like to eliminate all that. I know, Don, you're trying to totally eliminate personal contact.
Please. I keep saying to Frida, you know what I want for Christmas? A servant. Just get me a servant for Christmas. Hello, Don and Mike show.
A butler.
Hey, Jim the Butthead here.
And I want someone like Israel Gelman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want someone to bathe me and dress me.
A dresser.
That's how lazy I am.
Shop for you.
Yes.
Bring clothes home to you.
And furthermore, about this whole exercise thing.
Cook for you.
I want to just lay down and be like someone who's had a coma.
Right.
And have a guy just move my arms and move my legs for me.
Yeah, just get you aerobic.
Yeah.
While you lie down.
While I'm lying down.
That's cool.
Kathy Lee called Gelman the other night for the answer on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He got it wrong.
That was a repeat. Dumb.
Well, that's...
Don't you feel dumb?
Anyway, 150 people...
Anyway, wait a minute. Hold on. You can't, you can't blast by that and give us an anyway. I mean, come on now.
I'm sorry. I mean,
it was a big deal when it was on. It was like a huge deal months ago.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm the dumb.
Okay.
Very good.
Now, can we continue?
I don't know. You've made a horrible mistake in the first part of this call.
I'm sorry, Don and Mike. I'm a dumb.
Okay.
That's okay.
Okay, what?
150 people, we can get custom Don and Mike tags for the state of Virginia.
Come again?
If you want, you need 150 people to subscribe for custom tags in Virginia. And you could get Don and Mike.
Wait a minute, I don't understand.
What is he talking about?
I believe what he's saying, if the DMV gets 150 requests, they'll print a Don and Mike tag.
That's true. Is that anything?
Well,
that's
you? I don't know if that's true. That's what he's saying.
You mean like when you go in and that they'll offer that as one of your choices?
Yeah, instead of like Scenic or Cardinal or Virginia Commonwealth University, it could be Don and Mike.
Yeah, so you mean...
That's not, huge. We ought to do that.
Not the part where you could get like, I love jizz.
The circular part.
Where it says Virginia.
Yeah, the frame itself.
It would say... Don and Mike.
Right.
I don't know if they do it for commercial ventures, but yeah, even fraternities can get their own plates if they have enough members.
We only need 150?
Well, let's look into that. Let's do that.
150?
I believe it will cost an additional like $12 a year for whoever subscribes to it. It's something like that. It's nominal.
150?
Worth it.
We just get Don and Mike show tags?
Yeah, you'd have to probably design a logo.
And
well, we could do that.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
Not if some graphic designer called up.
Yeah, get a logo or,
Rob A tags.
We could get a Rob A tag.
Been done, sir.
But, I mean, you'd have to design a logo. No, forget it.
Too much work.
All right, thank you.
Thank you,
okay,
dumb.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Get Tom Gavin to design it.
That was actually not a bad call for such a dumb. Thank you, my friend. Robbie, thank you for the info. Time to clear the lines now and get a call 100.
All right.
A prize package we've selected especially for you. It lies straight ahead. Be the 100th caller now. Call me on the gypsy line, 877-365-3636. Be call 100.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Denise? Honey? Honey, I have some bad news.
Oh, yes. You are not coming into work in the morning.
Just look. No, but...
Would you just let me get you're not getting, give me your goodbye.
Masturbating in the morning.
Yeah.
John and Mike.
Right. Yeah, baby. Call 100 time and here we go. Hi, John and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Melanie Bender.
Melanie Bender.
Yes.
Bender? Where are you from, Melanie?
Fairfax.
Melanie, you won a copy of Sony PlayStation Sydney 2000. Earn points for free Olympic merchandise.
Okay.
Who freaking Ray? From Express.com and go for the gold. Express.com. High speed entertainment. Enjoy and thank you for listening to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. We do appreciate it. Hold on just a second.
Okay. Nice.
I got to tell you something. Actually, a couple of things. Before we get to James Brown, then Candace Bushnell.
Yes.
You should see Mike primping.
Yeah, I saw that. Straightening himself, he's cleaning up his area.
You know,
well, I had this spooge on my my jacket sleeve, and I wasn't sure what it was, and I had to clean that. And then Don tells me, you know, it's funny. You say you should see me preening, but then you came in and told me I had something wrong with my hair.
Well, I was just helping you.
And I started preening because you said that I had something wrong with my hair. And then, you know, Numbnuts over there comes over and he says, yes, I saw him preening. I'm preening because he said something was wrong with my hair.
Listen, the thing with your jacket was your own.
I just want this to be over.
You came into the room and the back of your hair was all standing up on end. The hair on the back of your head looked like Kramer.
Yeah, because I've got the headphone head, I'm not putting any goop in my hair anymore.
And don't forget about the new gay way you're combing your hair.
It's a gay way? You haven't said that yet. That's the first time you said that. Oh, well, Jesus, it's raining all over me today.
Don't you remember yesterday during the Ken show?
Yes.
Before the show when Ken was staring at you and
Oh, yeah, what's wrong with your hair? What's wrong? You look different.
What's different about you? And you said,
yes,
it's the new gay way I'm combing my hair.
Okay, I said that.
You said it.
All right. Yes, I am combing my hair. It's like the no fuss, no muss way. I don't put anything in my hair anymore. I just comb it over to the side, and I've cut it a lot shorter, and it's just, I just might as well have my nervous breakdown right now. I might as well just have it, get it out of the way, and be done with it.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be fine.
Come on. She's going to remember you.
Nah, she's not.
She's going to love you.
Well,
she's going to want to lay you.
No, that's yeah. That's not important. Yeah. I'm a happily married man.
You're going to have to go home tonight, and Laura, I'm going to tell you something. Smell his fingers.
Yeah.
And furthermore, Laura, if you're listening right now, check his underpants.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
That's just another level now. That's another level of anxiety that I get. Because Laura, I told Laura that this was happening today.
Of course.
And she's not doing cartwheels over this.
Has Laura seen a picture of Candace Bushnell? This picture I'm showing you right now?
Not that picture. No, not that picture.
This picture where you just slid all the way up, her dress is slid all the way up to the crack of her behind?
It's not the crack of her behind. It's up high. I'm like, what is it with the bottom in you? What is
no,
it
no,
with
no.
the derriere? Why don't we just bring in a big bag of feces here.
Hold on.
You know,
is that not cut all the way up to her ass?
It is cut up to the upper thigh, like where you would wear a bikini bathing suit.
Okay. And a bikini bathing suit covers...
Yes, but the crack of her behind would not be the way I would describe that. That is not the way I would accurately...
Damn, you are uptight about
that. That's not the way I would... Oh, I stuff it normally. I would just let it go by. I'm being very specific because the truth is my friend today.
She is wearing a revealing dress.
It's a very sexy dress.
In this photograph.
Very sexy.
It's a revealing dress.
It's a sexy dress.
Mm-hmm. And Laura, if you're listening, check his undies tonight.
Yeah, right.
Okay? When he gets home tonight, here's what you do.
All right, hey, listen. I'd like you to stop. I would like you to stop right now. My wife is experiencing a great deal of anxiety over this also. She's not thrilled with the fact that I'm making a big deal about this on the show. You can understand that.
You're not making a big deal about it.
I should have spoken to you. I should have had a meeting with you about this.
Okay.
I should have had one of our meetings.
Just smell his underwear.
Thank you. Be done with it. Be done with it, you.
That's it.
Okay.
You know, what if she comes in and she's a total stiff?
She probably will be. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if she, it's not going to be my fault. I'm not responsible for that either. You know how many levels of anxiety I'm experiencing on this?
I know.
Jesus. I got the anxiety, or is she going to recognize me or not? I got the anxiety. It's somebody I haven't seen for 24 years. I got my wife at home. I got you with the crack of the behind and the fanny likes it in the butt. I mean, my God.
All right, seriously.
Yes.
This is a serious question. No, I swear to God,
No BS.
Do you ever kiss her?
As far as like a real kiss?
Probably not.
Did you ever kiss her, though?
You know, just like on the cheek? You know,
have you kissed, for the record, have you kissed Candace Bush?
I don't remember. I really don't. I wouldn't be able to tell
okay.
you.
I know we never like, made
President
out.
All right, President Clinton.
No, I know we never made out.
But
we didn't. It was a non. We were friends.
You ever hold hands with her?
Don't think so.
You ever dance with her?
Yes.
Slow dance?
Probably, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You
were
quite an inquisitor.
You.
I feel like I was just on the stand. I really feel like I was on the stand. And we went to the, you know, people go to the prom as friends. Why am I, this is like the eighth time I've said this. They go to the prom as friends. I know you'd like it to be something more, but it really wasn't. Okay. It wasn't.
Okay. Listen, I believe
just you. As I have said from day one.
I know. I know. It's just, for someone who is just your friend, every time her name has come up in the news or she's been on TV, you've been very...
Well, that's because she's famous.
Very vocal in saying, hey, I took her to the prom.
Yes, because she's famous.
And because you did some stuff to
no!
her.
No! No!
Okay.
God.
All right.
Come on.
It's fun to work you.
I know.
Especially now when you're getting so uptight.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason. For no reason at all.
One reason.
What reason?
You.
No.
You.
Now, listen. Think about the worst-case scenario. Let's say she
comes... It's happening right now.
No.
This is the worst case.
The worst case is when she comes in here.
And she doesn't recognize me?
No, not that.
What? What's the worst case
scenario? Worst case scenario would be if she wants to go, hey, Mike says he gave it to you up the ass.
No, of course I'm not. Right.
But that's the worst
probably
case scenario.
Probably listening now. This is the prime... She's on the way now. This is the prime time. And you're
not listening.
Okay.
She's not listening.
Well, yes. But, I mean, nothing happened, and you know that. So what are you talking about, worst case scenario?
So you know that that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know that I'm not going to come right out and say, you know, that you gave it to her there. What's the worst case scenario that I...
That worst case scenario is right now. What's happening right now as we speak?
You know, that I throw some hints that maybe you've told me that, you know, that she's good. You know, and you will say he's lying.
Right.
And she will laugh.
Now it's really making me even more nervous because we're overanalyzing it. Now you're walking me through it and it's making me even more ill.
But it's really what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
She's going to come in. She's first off.
We're in that little area where we'll walk it up to a point where you'll get mad at me and I don't want to get to that point.
I'm not going
to
get mad at you.
You're
going to
say, okay, F it. I won't say a word like that.
No. Oh, absolutely not. I put too much time and effort into this to say F.
Look at it. You've got a lot of material over there. You got more material than I have over. I got Zippy over here.
I don't have
any of those pictures.
I probably know more about her than you do from all this crap they gave me.
Yeah, you probably do.
Let me see. She is hot.
Yeah.
Really hot. She been married?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I don't think so, actually.
Like it says here, she has a British boyfriend.
Yes, that is the... I think that's the very latest.
Mm-hmm.
She is no longer single in the city.
Do you think she has any idea how wildly famous you are?
That I'd love. I'd love you to do that. If you could build me up in that, you know, just for whatever reason, I would like that. Only because of this. Only because we're just two people from the same hometown, went to the same high school, and that whole deal, you know. And the reason, it's the same, that's the reason that I've been telling you every time, because this person has been getting
so much publicity because of this show and because of the new book that every time she says it, hey, that was a...
And I showed it to you because I knew, you know, because she's an attractive woman, I knew you'd probably say, no way.
You know, I've got an alternative plan.
What's that?
Maybe I shouldn't tell you. Maybe I should just wait until she gets here to lay it on you.
Well, what is it? What is it? No, lay it on me now.
No. Maybe it's better that I just wait.
Now, you're going to torture me now with something I don't know. That's going to cause me even more anxiety.
I'm going to write you
now. Now he's writing it out. Jesus, this
for
is going to be horrible.
What my backup plan is.
It's going to be absolutely horrible.
It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Okay.
I'm sure of it.
All right. Now he's writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see what it is.
That's my backup plan.
And when he shows it to Rob first, let me tell you right now, when he shows it to Rob first, it's the horrible of horribles. All right, go ahead, lay it on me.
No.
All right. Oh, come on, show it to me.
No. I'm just saying, if you really don't like the route I'm going...
No, come on, let me...
I'm going to go the opposite route.
Please let me see it. As a friend, please let me see it. Let me see it. You want money?
It's gone. No, I don't want... Oh, was it the way
put your hands
No. I just rolled up the post.
What is your alternative plan? Please tell me.
I will simply tell her that you can't get it up.
That would be the opposite.
That you've had some kind of a penile implant, and that frankly, for you,
Darryl,
sex is not a part of your life.
Now, give me a gun right now.
Hey, listen.
isn't. Yeah. That's the opposite.
Yeah, that is the opposite.
That's the opposite from me saying that you had anal with her.
It wouldn't matter to her whether I could or I couldn't. You understand? There was nothing. We were friends a very, very long time ago.
That's something interesting to know.
You go ahead and say that. I would have no problems with you saying that.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, you say that. No, of course I would say that he's lying again. You're having a good time, aren't you?
Having a grand time.
You are having a grand time. You've been waiting for this almost as long as I have.
Yeah, well, you know, just let me say that the reason I'm waiting for it as much as you have,
yes,
is the reaction
that I'm getting,
that you've given.
That I'm giving you, yes.
Well, not only me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody. You know when Broyho would say something about eating something?
Right.
About her. I mean, this has been going on for a month now. We've known she's going to be on the show tonight.
I know.
Your former conquest.
No, it wasn't.
Your first conquest.
No, it wasn't my first conquest. It wasn't my conquest.
Your first bloody conquest.
No, not at all.
In the backseat of a car.
No, not absolutely untrue.
Glastonbury Senior Ball.
I feel a lot like you right now, Buzz.
Welcome to my
I don't handle your things as well, though. I get to a certain point and then I just kind of lose it. I really
Glastonbury Senior Ball, 1976. A bicentennial year.
1976.
There you were, all alone, with Mike.
Okay.
Okay, come on.
Okay.
Come on, don't really get pissed.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
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 Good. Good.
Oh, please.
Okay.
You're now, really
now he's going to get mad. This is all. This
No.
The same crap.
You were getting mad.
Of course I'm getting mad. You're working me.
Why are you getting mad?
Stop it.
Okay, listen.
Stop it.
Let me just turn around for a second.
Yes.
I would not be mad.
Good. I'm happy for you if you would not be mad. You are not me.
If there was someone from my past.
Yes.
Who was coming in, famous or not, and you know. Listen, I don't have anybody famous who I knew when I was growing up.
Yes.
But if they were, and you were good, and you were saying to me, hey boy, you know,
right?
You gave it to her.
What do you mean?
I wouldn't be mad. I would know.
I was saying that to you.
Because if what you're saying is true, that you never had a sexual relationship.
What do you mean if? What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Okay.
If? What do you mean if? You call me a liar?
No, I'm not. I'm saying,
I'm saying, Mike. Wait, hold on a second.
You're a gentleman. A gentleman.
If that had happened, back before there was even a possibility that this person was going to be on the show, this woman being on the show is a very recent development. This woman has been famous for a very long time. Let's say that person, you know, and it became known that this person was a celebrity, and I did come in and I say, hey, I went to the senior prom. What possible reason would I have for withholding that information from you? The gentleman thing aside, I would have come in and I would have told you right away. And you know I didn't. So it's not true. And I'm telling you that it's not true. And of course it's not true. Because if what good would it do about that?
So if you know it's not true.
Right.
And she knows it's not true.
Right. Then what's the problem?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is, it's very uncomfortable.
Okay!
It's very...
Hello!
What?
Welcome to the show!
What?
Welcome to the show!
What?
We don't have a show if it's like you just coming in with your good old high school friend and saying, hi, damn, you're successful. Now, damn, you're successful. Damn, it's great to see you.
Oh, okay, all right. Oh, so it's more entertaining this way. Yeah, okay, that's fine, but I can still... But it's got to be real, too.
I know.
So I can't sit here... I know, I'm not that stupid that I expected to be.
Saying you're stupid.
Of course.
I'm not saying you're stupid. But how else to play it? It's the perfect way to play it.
I know it is.
Come on. She's hot. You will agree to that. She's hot. She made up a TV show that is about women drinking... She did. You saw that episode.
Yes, I've watched all the episodes.
Okay. How can you not make comments like that?
That's true.
I mean, it's not like, Jesus, I don't know. Who's somebody wholesome? Not that she's not wholesome, but, you know,
huh? James Brown.
I didn't take James Brown to the senior ball.
If it was James Brown.
Right.
You know, we wouldn't be getting the same mileage out of it.
I understand.
He's not hot like she is. He doesn't have a TV show all about sex.
I understand.
Sex in the City.
It's a great show. It's a very popular show. She's wildly popular.
Okay. Well, I'll just let you chill on that for a little while.
God.
Like, come on, it's fun.
It's grand fun.
It's fun for you.
It's fun for everybody.
It's fun for everybody except me.
It's fun for, you know, and you know what? It'll be fun for you.
It'll be fun for me when it's over.
You know what? As soon as the lineup is over, as soon as she recognizes you, and as soon as you realize that I'm not really going to say to her face.
You know, if I thought you were going to do any of that stuff, we have that understanding.
So you know it'll be fine.
I know it's going to be fine.
It's just me working, you know.
But it's real. You know, my anxiety is real, and you understand that I have that anxiety, and so allow me to express it. I have it. You know, I will understand that you're doing this with the show, and I will also, you know, it's when your eyes get that little narrow, little slitty quality, and you start going, Sex in the City, that's when I want to smack you. You know, all the other stuff, I kind of take it. It's just
why you want to smack me?
Because the way you're doing it right now, when you go, hey!
Because
it's just that little attitude. It's just that little bitty attitude.
But why
really
do you want to smack me?
Because it makes me mad.
Why do you want to smack me, though?
Because it makes me mad. Because I want to say, because you get that little S-eating grin on your face, and it just it irritates me, and that you know that's true, and you know it does, because you wouldn't do it if you didn't think it does.
I'm not doing it now voluntarily. Now I'm trying.
Now your eyes are almost closed.
I'm trying not to smile.
Your eyes are almost closed.
My eyes are closed.
They are closed.
Okay, my eyes are closed.
It's like, hey, this is the city.
Yeah, come on.
I know, come on.
Hey.
Come on.
Hey. Hey, Mike. Hey. Hey, hey. Hey, Paisa.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
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 Oh, boy.
See, you know, even that, you misinterpreted that.
Why? Let me misinterpret stuff. I'm keeping it together over here. Like, let me misinterpret everything you want.
I go like this. I go, yeah. Like one guy to another. Yeah, I do that movement.
You balled your fist up.
In happiness, like this. Like, I went, yeah, like when you see a football player score a touchdown.
And then I took my hand back like I wanted to smack you.
Yeah, right, see.
Yeah, sorry, should I apologize for that? I'm sorry I misinterpreted that signal. I'm very, very sorry.
Okay.
Very sorry that I misinterpreted that as kind of like, come on.
No. This is come on.
That's what I thought you did. You're dancing and hopping around.
No.
And stuff. There's so many, you know, there's so many little expressions that I'm trying to interpret here.
This is buddy stuff. This is, you and her, Yeah. That's what that is.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Okay, I think we've all heard that.
Well, I'll say it every time that you say something did happen.
I'm not saying anything did happen.
Okay, every time you say that, I'll have to... See, that's my thing. That's what I'm doing. Every time you say something happened, then I will say, that's not true. That's how I've chosen to deal with this.
I'm not saying
this relentless assault. I have chosen to, every time that something is said like that, I have chosen every time you say something that is not true, I will simply say what is true. That's what I'm doing. That's the way I'm handling it.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
Good.
Nothing happened.
Good. Absolutely.
Nothing happened at all.
That's good. Now there you go.
Nothing happened.
There you go. Good. Yeah. How long is this gonna last?
Nothing happened. Nothing at all. Damn, she's showing a lot of thigh in this picture, though.
She is. That doesn't bother me at all. That's she is. She is a very attractive woman.
Are you sure nothing happened?
No.
Nothing happened. Really? You didn't even...
No. No, there wasn't even an attempt.
Not even over the bra?
No, she made it so clear to me, if I remember, and it's a long time ago, so it's hard to... She made it very... It was not even a factor, but I mean, it was... If it had been, I'm sure it would have been made clear to me that that wasn't the thing to do. It was... We went...
Hey, come on.
I know.
Hey.
I was very young. I was a very young boy.
Okay.
Very innocent.
All right.
And I was gay. At the time.
So there's that. All right. We'll chill on that for a moment. She'll be here in about a half an hour.
Okay.
Come on. It'll be a good time on the show.
I think so. I think it's going to be very good.
We'll have the lineup.
Yeah.
We'll have you two reminiscing about your, while you're rubbing your temples.
Huh? Just a little stress.
You know, reminiscing.
Just rubbing out a little stress.
Reminiscing about your time together.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I'll give her the sex quiz.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's great. Excellent.
Excellent. Tell her my theories.
What theories?
My theories.
What theories?
Just my theories.
What do you mean by that?
It's my theory.
You're going to tell her you... See, I was fine. We were going to... I really thought that, like, you were moving on to another side. And then you started... you took your pencil, and you were kind of like... Just wiggling your pen. Yeah, doing that. We're doing what you're doing right now. Yeah. And then your eyes got that look again.
And then you said,
my theories.
I got my theories.
Your theories, because they're theories about me, aren't they? They're theories about me in high school.
They're theories about life. They're theories about a young man and his raging hormones in high school. Theories about a night.
I want to die.
Theories about a night that perhaps was so shocking and revolting that a young man.
The hell is that?
That a young man has blocked it out of his subconscious.
You mean so horrible?
So horrible.
So horrible.
So horrible.
Oh, God.
Okay, so Candace, when you woke up in the trunk of Mike's car, tell me something. Did he take you out for breakfast? Candace, when Mike took the gasoline-soaked rag out of your mouth, what's the first thing you said?
I certainly hope I haven't blocked anything horrible out like that.
I don't think you have.
Oh, my God.
Listen, okay.
Where'd you get that picture? What publication? I haven't seen that.
That is from the Mike magazine.
The Mike book?
Yes,
Mike novel, All About Me.
Mike book. No, it's from...
I don't like All About Me. I thought I'd like All About Me. You know, I don't. I like it. I'm real excited about her coming in here and everything, but I don't like All About Me.
Yeah.
It'll
be a good segment.
I'm looking forward to it. What if she doesn't show now? Wouldn't that be hard?
Oh, no, we sent a limo
all
for
of this,
her.
All of this emotion put
this
into
is,
that.
This is one of the few times that we have dotted the I's and crossed the T's.
Made sure of it?
Got her a limo.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
Sent the limo.
That still doesn't mean anything.
Pick her up. Hey, Carlos.
She hears a little of this. She might not even come.
Oh, of course. She comes all the time. To her interviews.
You.
Well, come on. Watch the show.
I know. The show's funny.
She's Carrie on the show. Carrie on the show is her, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's based on her character in the book.
Is your belt tight?
Why?
Now, what are you doing? Are you doing the fat stuff now?
No.
What do you mean, belt tight?
Just asking.
What does that mean? What does that mean, belt tight?
Just that. You're a little bit...
You're enjoying it, too. Okay, enjoy. Enjoy at my expense.
Enjoy. Have your fun, all of you. All of you have your fun.
Yes, I'm fat. I'm a lot fatter than I was when I was in high school. It's true. And do I have anxiety about that? Yes.
You've identified it. Hallelujah. Congratulations. Yes, the belt is tight. It's cutting off my circulation. I'm tightening it extra to make it look extra, like I look extra thin. Because that's what fat people do. They tighten their belts, Charlie.
Yeah, because
I can tell you've never been fat.
Because that makes them look so thin by tightening your belt real tight.
Tightening your belt just makes it all go away.
No. Some duct tape?
What's that?
Duct tape?
No, I don't need any duct tape.
Okay.
Stop it.
Sorry.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi.
What time is the car picking her up?
She's probably in the car on her way here listening now.
You think she's really listening?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I do.
Why do you think she's listening?
Because when I set it up with the driver, he said, do you want her to be able to hear the show on the way over? I said, that would be great.
Well, that's good. No, I'd like her to hear the show. That's terrific. I'm really, really happy that that she's heard the show.
Candace, Mike said you were the best.
Stop it!
The best.
That's not true. I didn't say that. I never said that. There was nothing. There's never been anything. We're friends from high school. I mean, and a very brief period in high school.
Furthermore, Candace, I'll tell you something. When he watches Sex in the City, he watches it in the nude.
I do not.
And he pleasures himself.
Oh, no, I don't.
Sex in the City.
No, I don't.
He does. Hey, you know what? You know what his nickname around here is? Mr. Big. Because that's who he thinks he is. As a matter of fact, he's asked us to refer to him as Chris Knopf. Please, don't call me Mike O'Mara.
Don't call me Matthew Broderick.
Oh, that's right. Real life. Well, no, I was just sticking to the show.
Oh, man.
On the show, it's Chris Knopf.
Oh, God.
In real life, it's vehicular manslaughter, Matthew Broderick.
That'd be a nice little reunion.
All right, come on. You'll love it.
I hope I love it. I'm looking forward to it.
You're looking forward to it.
I am. I'm very much looking forward.
Hey, Charlie, are we ready with JB? Should we do a break? Are we ready with JB? Because I could keep talking to Mike about his old high school friend.
It's time for a break, isn't it, Charlie?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
All right, so James Brown's coming up next?
Yes, he is.
All right, from Fox NFL Sunday. And I'll be honest with you.
What?
I'll be honest with you.
Here it comes. Here goes another one.
No.
What?
I've had anal sex with James Brown.
Have you really?
I don't mind telling you that. And I'll say that to him as soon as he comes on the show. I go, hey, here he is. My anal buddy. James Brown.
Yeah.
From Fox NFL Sunday.
Yeah, oh, right.
Yeah.
Your anal buddy. James Brown.
A.B.
Anal buddy. We'll just do a half hour talking about that with James Brown.
All right, we got a break.
Oh, God.
We will be right back with J.B. from NFL Fox Sunday.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
I'm glad you enjoyed them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
Outrageous, if you please, the Dawn and Mike Show.
And now listen, just because we haven't talked about it, don't forget about the J.O. contest.
Yeah.
We're winding down. Time to get your videotapes from across America to join us in our J.O. contest.
Keep them coming.
What we want is a tape of you J.O.ing.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to see anything.
No, you just want to see it from the shoulders up.
We don't want to see the parts. We don't want to see what happens afterwards.
Right, yeah, because that would take out the comedy factor, and then we'd get the gross factor.
We just want to see you from the shoulders and the head up. Send us a videotape of you J.O.ing too. Don and Mike J.O. contest, care of CBS, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Grand prize, a free trip to Los Angeles.
All right.
Send us your tapes. I wonder which guy from Fox NFL Sunday would be the funniest to watch J.O.ing.
Chris Collinsworth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a slam dunk.
Because of the neck.
Terry would be pretty funny.
No, I think Collinsworth, though, because of the...
Terry would have that face he uses when he does that commercial with the fish, you know, the sushi.
Because of the big giraffe neck, it'd probably be Collinsworth. You get lots of that, the head going all over the place.
Right. J.B. might be funny, too.
Howie could be funny.
Yeah, Howie, you know, has that kind of, leading man look.
If you could get a really, really old, like maybe a Super 8 camera, I would like to see Pat Summerall.
Beg your pardon.
Not a chance.
That's what he says at the end. Beg your pardon.
Stomach. Just terrible.
All right, we got J.B. online now. Hey, J.B.
What's going on, fellas?
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Right, from Fox NFL Sunday.
There's the music.
Which, you know, it's the mother of all the shows. Here's our friend, the very nice James Brown. Hey, JB.
First of all, I was mentioning, I said, you know what? I could really use a good beating up. What better program to go on to get beat up than to go talk to my guys?
You're not going to get beat up on this show. We got nothing but love for you on this show.
We admire you, JB. You're a fantastic guy that runs a daycare center every Sunday.
Oh, boy, is it not a daycare center? But I simply love it. When you guys get Big Boy, as I affectionately call Howie on the program, I love it because he leaves with the biggest smile. Now, I trust it's because he's enjoyed the conversation with you guys.
Yeah, now listen, let me ask you about the show last week and the week before.
Okay.
Specifically the part about the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
The week before, Terry goes off on Jeff George and he goes off on Snyder. And then this week,
mm-hmm.
Collinsworth is sitting down at the end of the table,
mm-hmm.
and he's making the moves like one of those little puppets, like, come on, let's get in a fight, Dan, let's get in a fight. And then they say to J.B., they're on James Brown's website, mm-hmm. and they say, look, they read this email that says, hey, everybody, love the Redskins, don't hate the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
And they say to him, how far do you live from Dan Snyder?
Mm-hmm.
And J.B. has to say he lives about a block away from Dan Snyder. How much of that is scripted, and how much of that is just them busting your balls when you get on the air?
Oh, now you know it's all unscripted.
Sure.
Beautiful. And Howie says, J.B., like, what is there to be concerned about? Who are you afraid of? You know, I mean, clearly they bust my chops about it. The only thing I wanted my guys to understand was that, yeah, you know what, let's have some fun and certainly speak your mind. But heavens, they played the game. They understand you can't make a judgment after the first three games of the season. It's a long season. Now, what really is going to be determined is how the Redskins handle adversity, and I'm looking forward to seeing. Thus far, they did pretty nicely. Last week, we'll find out what happens through the murderer's row schedule that they have upcoming. Terry Bradshaw, the only thing we really tried to caution Terry about, Terry will speak his mind no matter what. He could care less who's listening. The only thing we felt he might have gone overboard on was when he was attacking Jeff George and tying Jeff George and Sonny Jurgensen together, saying, what have they ever done? I mean, Sonny Jurgensen, please,
Sonny's an icon here, and he has done nothing but offer his very honest and candid opinion when asked about it, you know, and I didn't think that Sonny needed to be tasked accordingly.
Is there any truth to the rumor that your tone will change on your website, though, if Dan Snyder doesn't hand out real nice candy at Halloween and your kids don't get good stuff for trick-or-treat?
That has never influenced me because I'm not around anyway come Halloween.
Okay.
Just because he lives three blocks away has no influence on me, fellas. Hey, and as much as you talk about candy, you see how the guys are busting my chops about how much candy I've been eating anyway. So rest assured, I don't need to be here.
All right, listen, you know, beautiful eye candy is that POA that does the weather on your show. And let's face it.
What is her name? Do we know her name?
Jillian Barbary.
Her name is Lefty and Righty. That's her name because let's be honest. Nobody gives a rat's ass about the weather at noon when those guys go on the air. She just stands in front of a chroma key and she stands at the side so basically guys can look at her body.
Do you enjoy that, JB, when she's on the set?
She's a very informative meteorologist.
Oh, God.
I pay close attention to the weather forecast in those respective cities where there are not dome stadiums to make certain it's not going to impact the game one way or the other.
Oh, man, a hot time in Hollywood.
Hey, let me tell you something. Check this out. The first week, Chris Collinsworth, I have never seen him so animated during the weather segment. He comes back and says, you know, I never knew the weather could be so important to a telecast. When Chris went home, Don and Mike, his wife greeted him at the door with a cold stare saying, I don't know what the weather was like in California, but it was stormy back here. So Chris now doesn't participate very aggressively. Howie, as you heard him tease, he says Howie looks like the Lincoln Memorial because he won't look at her. Right now, it's only Terry Bradshaw who's clapping during that segment.
There, good old Terry. Way to go.
Well, listen, the show is great. You know that. I'm not going to mention the names of the other shows, but I said...
No problem. Call them out. You know, we're all in the business together.
I said it yesterday. I said the CBS show is the biggest pile of poo that I've ever seen. And we have Nancy on the show sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know Jim Nancy.
And Jim is a good guy.
He's a great guy.
Listen, he's an ass kiss. And the next time he comes on the show...
And you like Jim.
I do, but listen, the next time he comes on the show...
Right.
I'm going to have to tell him... I said it yesterday.
You're going to shatter him when you do that.
I said, I watch both shows on Sunday.
Right.
There's no comparison because the Fox show has real chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
You got it going on, JB. It's a great show.
And fellas, very honestly, we are truly blessed because it has been like capturing lightning in a bottle. There's no doubt Terry Bradshaw is the straw that stirs the drink on our program. Howie, the big handsome stud, he gets every woman across whatever ethnic lines to tune in, but he knows his football. Chris Collinsworth does his homework, and you guys are right, a nursery school teacher trying to keep it all together.
No, you do a great job.
You know, we really are very blessed in that regard, but you know, I have nothing but good friends over there at CBS, and while I know that they are journalistically sound in their presentation, hey, I'm going to continue to work as hard as I can to do my part with our guys to make sure that we stay number one, and Jim Nance has been and always will be a good friend.
All right, kick their ass. Listen, JB is not here simply to talk about the comments that were made about Sonny or about Jeff.
Right.
Wants to promote his show, which is going to be on TLC,
mm-hmm.
right? And now
the Learning Channel.
This show is on, is it next Tuesday night when it premieres?
It'll be October the 3rd. We're going to have a program on from 9 until 10, and then from 10 to 11. The first show will be The Perfect Swing. It's actually under the category, if you will, The Amazing Science of Sports Air. You know, you guys will love it from the standpoint that what it does is it helps to put in perspective for the lay people what these athletes do on an ongoing, a daily basis, and how fantastic it is how the football players, and I know you guys can find some fun to rip here, but they're not thinking about geometry or algebra and the like, but it involves an awful lot of physics when you talk about a quarterback dropping back and his wide receiver may be running a post pattern and he's got to determine what trajectory to put that ball on to place it softly in his hands, or the amount of impact that a running back may endure in running into a 6'9", 275-pound defensive end.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, but you know, if Fox did a good job of some promos, for instance, showing what a catcher has to endure with the guy rounding third base after the catcher has caught the ball waiting for this collision and what it's like, and they had a catcher standing behind the rear legs, the hind legs of a horse, and of course they use a dummy, and had the hind legs knock the daylights out of this dummy to show what that impact is like. You know, I really don't find anything to criticize most football players about when they're on that field, because when they cross those white lines on Sunday, hey, fellas, as I know you know all too well, that is a man's game, and they don't play out there when they're out there hitting.
Everybody watch JB's new show. It's on TLC. It'll be on next Tuesday. And we'll give you a plug for it next Tuesday also. Most importantly, though, JB, when are you going to come back and host the world's funniest
home videos?
It was
the world's funniest. What do you do like 700 things. What was that show that you hosted?
Hey, and I say this lovingly now, because the work ethic of Jamaicans is really to be admired. Howie Long wanted to know if I had some Jamaican blood in me, because I've got like 9 different jobs.
You are always doing something different.
That is world. What was that dumb show?
Yeah, it was called The World's Funniest, and my good friend Tony Kornheiser just rips me a new one every time he sees that program. But you know what?
Well, you just talk about his hair when he does that.
Well, you know what? Hey, please, would I have a lot to... But I love him very much, and I at least appreciate the same as I do with you guys. You call it as you see it, whether I agree with you or you agree with me or not, and that's what it's all about. But I enjoyed that program because it was good, clean fun. I don't know whether or not it's going to be resurrected again, but it sent my daughter to college, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, right. I'm just going to say, good, clean fun, and paid you a boatload of freaking money.
No complaining.
All right, JB, listen, our best to your neighbor Napoleon.
Okay.
Please tell him we said hello.
Yeah.
Pass along our best to Howie. You know he's our favorite next to you on that show.
You never hear your neighbor in the back of his yard like going, "I'm the king of the world."
Hey, look here. I hope not to, because I will go out there with a shotgun if I hear that.
And finally, let me ask you, James Brown. Would you be embarrassed, JB, if I did announce to the world that you and I, in fact, were lovers? At one time?
Wow, I thought certain things were supposed to be kept locked away under lock and key.
I told you I would tell him. You want
I know.
Me to be, want
I
me
know.
Be more explicit?
Well, you know what? I guess it's out there now.
No, there's no need.
I guess it's out there. But hey, you know what? As a good Christian, I love everybody.
There you go.
And you sure do.
Hey, fellas, I really enjoy talking with you guys. And I will make sure I get Chris Collinsworth. I'll nail him down for you.
All right, and listen, next time, JB, no more telephone. Come back in. We need to see you again.
I would love to do it in person.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Elizabeth Maley will make it happen.
Very good.
Take care.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
JB.
Bye-bye.
James Brown from Fox.
NFL Sunday.
He's great.
He's a good guy. He's been a friend of ours before he got big, back when he worked just at Channel 9. He was always the guy.
Sports, yeah.
Yeah, always the guy calling us and saying, hey. We're very happy for his success.
We are, very much so.
One hell of a lover.
And you got that in there to prove a point. I'm glad you did. I'm so glad you did.
One hell of a lover. And you know what they say, Mike? Once you have black...
Yes, you never go back.
You never go back.
That's right.
One hell of a lover he is, James Brown. And I know you know, as we were talking to JB, that they wheeled your girlfriend by.
Not my girlfriend!
You saw that, though, right?
Yes, I did.
Now, she doesn't know the configuration of the studio, though.
She waved at you.
Yeah. So she doesn't know which one is Mike, right?
Nope.
And she technically is not supposed to join us for a second, right? So we could have another break just to
well,
build...
She's ready to go. She has another engagement after us, and so sooner the better.
Mm-hmm. All right, well then, I wanted to keep the tension going, but...
Thank God.
Let's get the lineup together. The lineup will be... The lineup is...
What did you say?
Did the tension get worse?
Yes, the tension is worse.
The lineup is me and Mike, Wendell...
And find him.
You can't find Wendell. Wendell's the key.
Find him.
We got to have Wendell.
Can I go pee? Is she anywhere where she would see me if I went to go pee?
She wouldn't see you.
All right, good.
No, she's spending
time. I have to pee bad.
Okay, well, then help us out with...
I found someone else.
I saw Wendell today.
Bring him on in.
Who else is going to be in the lineup?
I think I have someone you'll like.
Good, let's see.
Like.
Let's see who this is going to be.
It can't be Rob A because he's too young.
I know. It's not
right,
Rob
A. Rob A's bringing somebody
not
in.
Not Rob A at all.
Okay, who is it?
Is it going to be?
All right, it's Bob Skin. It's Bob Skin. Now, Bob Skin, how old are you, Bob Skin? Really, how old are you? How old are you?
Come on, Bob.
How old are you?
Bob, tell us how old you are.
50.
50.
50.
All right, very good.
He's 50, so he's...
That's good.
He's 8 or 9 years older than you are.
That's better than Wendell.
Okay. Can you find one more guy?
Yes, I will.
So we have 5.
You know, Wendell was the key to the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to do when we come back from the break is... Line the 5 of us against the back wall of the studio.
Very good.
Bring Candace right over here with Rob.
Okay.
Keep her on this microphone with Rob. Hey, Rob, you're going to have to share a microphone with her.
I can do that.
And ask her to simply pick out which in the lineup is her former boyfriend and lover.
No, not a boyfriend, not a lover.
Mike O'Mara.
Very good.
All right, we will do that with Candace Bushnell right after this.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Get easy, honey. After all, we never see them.
It's almost worse this way, just hearing them.
They're not mad at you. They're mad at the dirt. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Well, this is a dream come true. Hi, everybody. It's me, Rob. The lineup here, and we're awaiting Candy Bushnell, who's going to come in and look at the lineup. This will be exciting. I actually know the answer. I know who Mike is, so it'll be easy to read what's going on. And the real Mike, no, I won't say anything. But we have five people in here. Candace Bushnell, the creator of Sex in the City, is on her way down to try and choose who the real Mike O'Mara is. Hi, stars.
Hi.
Hi, Rob. Lots of good stuff coming up on today's show. I'm sure, as a matter of fact, news, right?
Sure.
And, match game coming up later this week. That'll be fun, won't it?
Are you just...
I'm just padding. Because, Candy Bushnell is coming in right now. Oh, Lisa says she's coming. Well, now we know that.
We don't have that time.
Oh, here she is. Please come this way. Oh, right away.
She picked him out already.
Right away. It took absolutely no time.
No hesitation. That was
even a delay.
Not even a hesitation.
And you must be Don. Oh, you're Don.
I am. Hi.
Oh.
How you doing?
No, you're Don.
No, I am. That's Mike. That's Robé standing behind me.
Oh, really?
Hi, Candy.
How are you?
24 years, I think, something
I
like
know,
that.
But I still recognize you.
Yeah, and I recognize you.
From those, should I put these on?
Yes, go ahead, please. Welcome.
Oh, I can really listen to my voice, like, reverberate in my ears. My mic's not on!
Yes, it is, honey. Your mic's absolutely on. Oh, the headphones are too loud.
Want me to turn that down?
Oh, what's wrong with my headphones? Sorry, dude.
So, Mike tells me that you...
You are so over as a person. We are checking your underpants right now. Get them off, babe!
You wore him out. Mike says you absolutely wore him out.
You know I didn't say that, but
I wonder if he looks like his father now. When I knew him, he was a little boy of 16.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Yes, back at Glastonbury High School in Glastonbury, Connecticut, a long time ago.
And we didn't do anything.
No.
I actually thought Mike was gay.
No, you did not.
I didn't. I'm kidding.
We were buddies. We were friends.
We were buddies. We used to listen to Peter Frampton.
Yeah, Frampton Comes Alive.
Frampton Comes Alive.
Absolutely.
Were you surprised that a young man who you didn't really think was gay took you to a prom date and would try anything with you?
No.
No,
in those days, everybody, you know, hung out. I mean, I wasn't even allowed to have boyfriends.
Mm-hmm. Really? I had sex on my prom night.
Did you have sex on your prom night, Buzz?
Yes, one of them, yes.
Well, were you? Did you?
Well,
have
you were lucky. That was the only time you got laid.
Ha ha, Miss Annalise.
It was downhill from there.
So listen, I'm gonna tell you really. This poor bastard has been so uptight.
Out.
He has been so up. Look at him now.
I am uncomfortable.
Look at
Why?
Him uncomfortable because of all this stuff. He's been very uptight.
He's given him a really hard time
for the whole. I guess it's been a month or so. We've been promoting the fact that you're gonna come on the show.
And I really appreciate it.
And he's been very uptight about it. Absolutely out of his mind about it.
Yeah.
Build up.
I'm just going to let you guys talk. I'm just going to sit back here. I'm totally relaxed now. I'm much. Yeah, I do look different. Yeah, it's called.
No, he's not that different. Actually, in high school, he said he was going to be a DJ. And everyone was like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's great. And we were all like, we hope you make it, dude.
I did want to do it. I wanted to do it since I was about 13 years old. That's true. I was doing that back then, too.
It's good to see you. It is good to see you.
It's really been, I was saying you graduated and it was 24
How
years
come you
later.
Didn't find Mike sexually attractive?
It's a good question.
You know,
I don't
we
think it
buddies.
Ever came up, though.
No, it didn't come up.
It really didn't come up.
We were
friends.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but we were friends. And you had that other little friend. What was his name?
John Burney.
Yeah, John Burney.
John Burney,
and
who...
Didn't John Burney go to the prom with Linda Dufford?
I think
we went as a group.
That's right. The four of us went. We all
and
went
together. And we did stay up till 4 in the morning, but we didn't do anything. What did we do? We must have drank beer.
I think we drank cold duck.
Cold Dog.
I think we drank that. And you know something? And I haven't heard from John. And John and I were best buddies in high school. And John is a ghost. I've never heard from him. And we used to do a little radio show in high school. And I've never heard from him. So I don't know what he's doing. I don't know where he is.
Look how nervous he is.
I am nervous.
Look how nervous he is.
I'm nervous on a variety of... When you haven't seen somebody in 24 years, it's weird. When you see that person for the first time and it's on a radio show, it's weird. And it's, I'm dealing with it.
Let's be honest. He turns on Sex in the City. And he thinks, you know, it could have been me. I mean, not literally, of course, since you know.
But he's married.
I'm very happily married.
He's happily married.
That's right. With two children, very happily married.
He's one of the escapees from Sex in the City.
And you're in a relationship now, too. You're happily something. Right?
So
freaking nervous. And you're in now.
Don't flip me off.
Come on, you're nervous.
I am nervous.
Mike, you like to give anybody the bird.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
I'm giving him the bird now. That's
okay.
It's in a friendly way, though.
He's nervous, though. He's nervous about what I'm going to say to you about
no, I'm not
things
anymore.
He's told me about
no,
you.
No, because he knows all that. That's why she said what she said.
Like what?
Well, like, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right, that.
Like,
yeah.
You know, the thing that you did to Mike.
No.
You know what? We were just friends.
We were friends. We were buddies.
I mean, we didn't really...
You know what I'm realizing, though? There's something...
We went to the same, like, didn't you... You belonged to Woodledge, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
The other one.
Orchard Hill.
Two swim clubs.
I dated her sister, too.
Lolly?
Yeah, I dated Lolly.
Oh, my God, that's right.
I made out with Lolly.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Well, that's the truth.
It's a good thing you didn't really date her that much, because then she had that other boyfriend. Oh, God, I can't remember what his name is. But my father ran him off the property.
And what's the youngest? It was Candy, Zizzy. Lolly, and Zizzy.
Yeah, Zizzy's getting married in a couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's the truth. I told you those names were legit.
And she's marrying a guy who's 10 years younger, and he's adorable. Now, so is his.
Do people still call you Candace, or do they call you Candy? They still call you Candy?
No.
You hate Candy?
No. I got my first job was working at Ladies Home Journal, and I had this boss. He said, okay, your job is sharpening pencils. And, oh, by the way, I kept pause. We have an assistant named Candy. What is your real name, child? And I said, Candace. It was like the first time I'd ever said it in my life.
You tell we were in the theater group together?
Yeah, we were good.
Can you tell?
Yeah, I can tell. But see, she's done something with it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
I mean, I know.
She's actually turned it into a career.
Oh, look at me. I know. I'm sitting here looking at you every day. I mean,
Listen, I know.
Here we are.
I know. How often do you think, honestly, in the past 20-some years since you've seen him, how many times have you thought of Mike O'Mara?
That's an excellent question.
And please be honest. I'm not looking for a funny answer here.
Honestly, maybe... two or three times, but it was recent because I went through this like 70s thing and I bought all this 70s music and I bought Peter Frampton Comes Alive and I was like, yeah, I remember I used to dance to this at that Mike guy's house, that guy who wanted to be a DJ.
That's right.
I wonder whatever happened to him.
Well, see, they were the seniors and it was cool to hang around with the seniors and they let me into their group and I was kind of psyched to be with
the girls,
seniors.
The
I was
senior
really
girls, who the were the precursors girls. To Sex and the City Girls.
You know, actually, now that I think of it, maybe...
The sex and but we had the drinking.
Maybe they all included me because I was safe.
Well, you know what?
I was just a safe kind of guy. I was in the theater, but maybe they thought I was gay.
Yeah. No,
maybe actually they thought I was gay.
But we thought you were a nice guy from a nice family.
There you go.
But you might...
I don't know.
You, maybe you had, like, low testosterone or something.
Well, it seemed like everybody was getting laid. Let me tell you something. It seems like...
Female girl never came on the show.
I just had to delete that out. You can't say the S word.
I will tell you,
Candace, you can't say... You can't say S-H-I, though.
No, you can't say that.
Oh,
everybody!
But I can say the T word.
Let me tell you.
No, you can't say that either.
The only way you can... T-I-T-A-N-I-C.
We can't say...
Oh, I'm not going to say that.
You can't
that's
say
how we have... When you said the T word, that's what I thought you were
saying. You know, now all the memories of high school are coming back, and I'm thinking that I, you know...
No,
maybe
you?
I was the only one that wasn't getting laid in high school.
No.
I was the only one. I was just sitting around, like, you know, being everybody's friend and doing that type
of
thing.
Did you...
So, I didn't get laid in high school either.
You did not get laid.
No. In fact, I was like a little goody-goody when it came to sex, but I was bad every other way, but... I had to go parking once with these. Oh, God, that guy who, I can't even say on the air what happened to him because it was terrible, but he was dating that girl named Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a guy who was, he was like on the soccer team, he was a jock.
Right.
And he had a zit on his face. And every day I would see him, and the zit was either getting bigger or smaller, but it never quite went away. And we went parking in a cemetery, and I was just like, this is so queer. I am so out of here. Like, I am not doing this till I can get into a bed. Like, I want to lie down at least, you know? I don't want to be, like, all tangled up.
So you didn't do anything with any guy in high school?
Yeah, I, like, maybe made out with a guy.
You made out with a guy?
Did you do? Saliva.
Did you ever, in high school, give a guy a little...
No.
You never did that?
No. But when I was a, when I was going to college, the summer before I went to college, I had this boyfriend who was a couple of years older. And he pulled out his thing, and I was like, oh, my God, get that away. Put that away. So then he went out with my girlfriend, and he started seeing her, and I was like, why did you go for her? And he said, because she likes to... with my thing.
Like you had a dynamo here and you let her slip right through your fingers.
Well, she only discovered... When did you... when was your sexual awakening? When did you discover that you, you know,
not,
was this person?
Not until I went to college.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was, yeah, that was a little wild, but everybody was, you know... You know how people are.
I lost my virginity at 15, and then there was nothing.
You,
all
you
the way
did? Through. I didn't.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
That?
And it was with no one from Glastonbury.
Well,
absolutely.
Thank God.
It was far.
He would
was,
have known about it.
It was up in Maine. It was up in Maine, and there were a lot of people doing it around.
You should
know.
Have been able to tap into this. I got to think it. Even at, how old was she when you were?
She came from.
I was a year older.
She came.
But we
from a very
be the
nice
same
family.
Age. How
well,
old are
come
you?
Come on.
Are you 40 or 41?
40.
Oh, I'm
41. No, I'm 41. No, I'm 41. I'm 41.
Yeah, see, we're the same age.
Yeah, that's
I was
right.
A grade older because I was smarter.
You were. Didn't you go to... You went to a really good college, right?
I went to...
You and Linda Dufford went to a really great...
No, Linda went to...
Don't you
went
like...
Skidmore.
Skidmore, okay.
Yeah.
All right, somebody...
Yeah.
I thought somebody went to Smith or something like that.
Lori Munn.
Lori Munn went to Smith.
And then she became a preacher. Preacher's daughter. Preacher girl.
Does it surprise you that Mike is very into anal sex now?
Now, that is not true.
I don't know that that's true.
That is not.
Have you read Four Blondes? You got to read it.
Oh, this is a plug for your new book.
Yes,
I have it.
It
at home. I have it at home.
Well,
the cover is pink, and it looks like a chick book.
Tell
I
me the
know.
Truth, though. How long have you had the book?
I've had the book for like 2 months.
You've got it.
I haven't read a page of it. Because
no.
It has a pink cover, and I actually gave it to my wife. I said, you might like this. This looks like, you know, I said, oh, that's your prom date. And that, you know, and I gave it to her, and I don't even know if she's ready.
She burned it.
No, she's got it. She's still got it. She does. My lovely wife, Laura, who I love a lot.
Your book, Four Blondes, on sale now.
Yes, but it's racy, though.
$24. That better be one hell of a book.
Is it dirtier than Sex in the City?
You know, the thing about Sex in the City is the sex bits just, I mean, I don't write any of the shows, but the sex bits just, like, really stick out, you know?
They sure do.
Like, they just stick out. Like, they're not necessarily part of the plot.
Yeah, with Kim Cattrall and all that stuff.
She lives across the street from me in New York.
Does she really?
Yeah,
you know
what
I like
her.
On that show? And I stand alone here because he says...
You like Miranda.
He says she looks like Dave Foley with red hair. I like
Miranda
Nixon. What's her name?
The redhead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right.
She's great.
She's
the one
I like.
I like the one that's married to the dysfunctional guy.
I know. I was like,
is that Miranda?
Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Kyle. God, I thought you were going to play the new Mr. Big. Instead, you're playing this.
Do you like the show? Do you like the show? Do
yeah,
you like
I
the
love thing? It. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that bums me out is like, okay, when you know Carrie on the show goes to sell her Sex in the City to Hollywood, she meets Matthew McConaughey. Did I ever meet him? No. I'm pissed.
How much? Are you making a lot of coin on that show?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
How much is a little bit?
Oh, well, enough to buy gold boots.
You have gold boots?
Oh, gold boots?
I did just buy some gold boots, actually.
Really?
Solid gold boots or just colored gold boots?
No, colored gold boots.
Colored gold boots.
Solid gold boots.
I think solid gold boots might be a little hard to walk in.
Tough to move around.
Okay.
I'm gonna stand here.
All right, I want to...
Hey, you remember our drama teacher in high school?
No. Ow. Which one? That skinny one?
Yeah, the skinny one with the long hair.
Yeah, that one with the really long hair, Mrs. Newpilly or something.
I thought it was Mrs. Wright.
It was Mrs. Wright.
Was it Mrs.
Yes,
Wright?
She was so nice to us.
I remember that name. I actually remember that name.
Were you ever Mrs. in any of the Molière plays?
No, I was not. I wasn't bright enough to do that. See, that's why you... See, we are the same age, and you were a grade ahead of me. I was a little slow. Okay, we can let the truth out now. I was held back.
It doesn't be ashamed about mine.
I was held back because I couldn't pass the test. And it was at a very young age when they tested me. What's that?
It wasn't a sex quiz.
No, it was motor skills.
You're going to take a sex quiz. I'll get my wife on the phone. My wife loves
your show, okay?
That's great.
This is a big argument we have on Sunday night.
Because you don't like the show.
It's not I don't like it. It's on against football.
Oh.
Honey.
Well, hi, boo-boo.
Hey, listen, I got this girl who did anal with Mike in high school.
Stop it. That's not true.
I'm so impressed, Mike. I didn't know you're such a stud.
Yeah, I was a stud mom.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, big time. I know you didn't. It's a mystery, isn't it?
So anyway, Candace, this is my wife, Frida.
Hello, Frida.
Hi, Candace. I'm a big fan of the show that you inspired. And do you what part do you play in it now? I know that
I don't really do. I don't do. I don't really have any. I don't have much involvement with it now. Uh-huh. I did the first two seasons. I met with the writers and would read the scripts and give suggestions. Like they, at one of the first scripts, they had everybody shopping at Bloomingdale's, and I crossed it out and wrote Gucci, Gucci, Gucci.
Wow.
So I did things like that, and then I kept saying, God, you know, there should be gossip columns in, you know, Page Six. And they're like, no, no one in the rest of the country will understand that. And then sure enough, they have, you know, Carrie is on the cover of New York Magazine and all that kind of
Honey,
stuff.
Honey, tell her why you like the show.
No, I have questions of my own, boo-boo. Well, is she dressed like the girls in Sex and the City?
I'm wearing Gucci pants.
Yeah, she's dressed rather like New York City chic.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, she is.
I think she's braless.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Well, they're often braless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? I mean, I got two sweaters on.
What else you got for her, honey?
No, I don't. Those were just things that occurred to me. Because when I'm out shopping, and believe me, those girls are gorgeous. But, you know, it does influence the shoes that even a Virginia suburban woman buys, I'm thinking. You know, because sometimes the outfits that they wear...
They're too much.
Yeah, they're too much, and you think that would be ugly, except that they can pull it off.
Because of the shoes.
Yeah, right. And because of their confidence.
Exactly. So. Well, I've had some interesting shoes. I have some glittery blue Jimmy Choo boots. And then I just bought some gold.
Jimmy who?
Your wife will know who Jimmy Choo is.
I'm with her.
Jimmy Choo?
Who is Jimmy Choo?
He's a shoe designer, but it's actually a woman.
Chew on that.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you tell her about that crappy party you went to on Friday night with Coolio?
No, I didn't. I wasn't at a party with Coolio. It was a fashion show, and he was there. But I'm telling you, the fashions, if the right person's not wearing them, it looks like you would pick them up at TJ Maxx.
All right, sweetie. Well, listen, I just wanted to give you a chance to talk, because this is like the only show my wife watches, you know, besides, and Big Brother.
She loves it.
Well,
she likes those two shows.
It's a great show.
All right, honey.
All right, thank you. Love
I'll tell you something, sweetie.
Yeah.
I can't believe Mike got nothing off this girl. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm sitting right now looking at her with my wife on the phone. I've been married 20 years. I think I could lay you. I think I could.
Would I lay you, baby?
Well,
I'm thinking about Matthew McConaughey.
That is embarrassing. If you can't get off anything off of the woman who inspired Sex in the City.
I know. But I have to tell the truth. If I had lied.
Very attractive.
Pardon me?
I just said to your wife that you were very attractive. And so is Mike. So, Ev, stop giving him a hard time.
Thank you, Candace.
He looks really good.
Thank you, Candace.
He's got his hair.
He's obviously a writer.
I do have my hair. I kept my hair. God damn it, I kept my hair.
Let me just repeat that quote.
Yes.
You look very good. And so does Mike.
You got it first.
Mike,
you got it first. This is
thank
it.
You.
I'll hear this the rest of my life now. That's just the way it's going to be.
And I bet that's the same delivery she gave you in high school when you were just friends.
We were just buddies. We were friends. I mean, you know, of course I might have harbored some deep down fantasy about any woman that would go on any type of date with me, but nothing happened. Now, what if I had said that something happened? I had really said to you all along that something had happened, and then there was no way to get out of it
until this day arrived.
You call in
Candy
walked in the door, and I would have my throat.
I can't come in and do this show.
today.
All right, sweetie.
Mike's not that kind of guy. He's a good guy.
Thank you.
An honest guy.
Thank
and that's why he hung around with the best-looking women. Okay, so what if he didn't get laid?
That's right.
All right, honey, I love you.
All right, goodbye, boo-boo. All right. I love you, too.
Went to the best parties. Finest schools. We all went to the Fox Hunt on the weekend. It was great.
So before I get to your sex quiz, your book, Four Blondes, which has nothing to do with Sex in the City, but it is...
read the book, Sex in the City.
It's a dirty little book, this new book you've written, though, right?
No.
I mean that in a good way.
There is some sex in it, but it's not great sex. No, there's one person has really, really good sex, and she's the most evil one of all.
It's getting great reviews, really, really good reviews, though.
Yeah, it's on the New York Times bestseller list.
So you're making a ton of money.
Well...
You going to give any back to Glastonbury High School? Is there going to be a Candace Bushnell wing? How about Bushnell Theater?
I'd like to get a Candace Bushnell house first that I might put myself in, along with some sheets and pillows.
Do you get back to our hometown? Do you ever get back there?
Well, occasionally, but, you know, I have a house up in Kent, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm, right.
That's my little weekend house.
Big bucks. Yes. Big bucks.
No, yes. I have a tiny little house.
Yes, it's a tiny little house in Kent.
It's a marvelous little house. It's 9 acres and a pond and a swimming pool.
It's just outside of Greenwich, and I get out there as often as I can. It's fantastic.
This girl's hot, and she's got a good personality.
Mm-hmm. I know I blew it, okay? I'm a eunuch. I have no balls.
You're a fag.
I'm a fag. Call me a fag. Absolutely. We were very good friends.
Yes.
And then she went away.
Did our parents know each other? Yes.
They did. They knew each other.
Everybody in our town knew each other.
We had a small town. Very small town.
This was a town where, I'm telling you, you know, this girl who lived next door to me and had this boyfriend for about 8 years, we went over there once, and they were having sex. We saw in the window.
That was where, in our town, that's where kids had sex, though, in their parents' home.
Yeah.
That's where, when the parents were away at work, that's when the kids...
Or even in the evening.
She's so animated. I like it. You're very good with the gestures and your face and everything.
She was you were animated back in high school.
I was.
Not on prom night, she wasn't.
No, she wasn't.
Oh, poo.
Well, it was, you know, no, she was.
It was
nothing
prom
happened.
Night.
Now I'm really starting to bum out about that big time now. Now I'm
Why?
Getting very...
I know.
Look at this sexy picture of you.
I know. I love that
magazine.
Picture. My publicist saw it, and she was like, "Oh, you're not going to like the picture." And I was like, "Let me see that." And then I was like, "Oh, I love that picture." Because, I don't know, it looks Swedish or something.
No, you look very hot in that picture.
You know, you're very cute.
But you know
picture.
What? You didn't see Magazine, September W.
No, I didn't.
I just have little tiny, tiny shorts on, and my legs are up like that, and I have four guys, male models, around me.
Can I ask you a question about our prom?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember the color that you wore on our prom night?
Yeah, I wore a black dress.
Well,
and then I was thinking, I wonder, you must have worn some sort of colorful cummerbund or something.
I wore a black tuxedo with a red shirt.
Ah, yes. See, that was very Mike.
What was the
theme? Always a little bit different.
What was the theme of your prom? Not for you, Mike, but for your family.
That I don't remember.
You don't remember?
And balloons?
Mike, what was it?
One of them was Dream On. One with the Aerosmith song. It's the truth. One of them was Dream On, the Aerosmith song. The other one was Beginnings, and I don't know, I'm not sure whether either one of those was for your, because it was your senior ball, because you were smarter than us.
Did you dance The Color My World?
I think we did dance.
Was Stairway to Heaven.
Yes. Did we dance Stairway to Heaven? I think we probably did.
Yeah, I'm sure we did.
So you did slow dance.
The prom wasn't that much fun, though. It was just like something to go to.
That's right.
To get out of the house.
It was a thing to do. Yeah, I know.
It was a thing to do.
The prom really wasn't fun.
That was our date.
Now, who did you go with?
I went to the junior prom, too. I went to the junior prom that year.
He was very in demand as a prom date.
There you go.
Of course.
Safe. I was very safe and an amusing date. I was a safe and amusing date.
But he was really funny. We would drive by his house and say, let's go see if Mike's home.
Oh,
sure, let's go see the one guy in school who we know who won't try to get into our pants.
I was safe.
Let's go see the one guy in school who won't try to steal us up.
I was safe. I was safe. but my hormones were raging. I was so
frustrated. We didn't know that.
I was so
frustrated. Bunch of girls driving
around. We had no idea.
Yeah, I was,
we were just walking around in our short little cutoffs.
Yeah.
And,
oh.
And
yeah, it was a repressed Catholic upbringing.
And swinging our tennis racket.
That's true.
Hi.
In that little town.
Hey, Mike, want to come out and play?
We're so horny. Let's go over to Mike's house. He'll do nothing about it.
Let's go over and tease Mike. Hi, girls. Come on in. I'll make you sandwiches.
Want a Coca-Cola?
A Coca-Cola. Just come on. Let's sit around the kitchen table and tell stories.
Let's That's what we did.
Come over to my house. Let's do a play.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Jesus.
Yeah. Well,
you should know, all kidding aside, that since Sex and the City came out, every once in a while, you know, I would hear this.
Right.
And it would be tossed out.
Well, we're proud of you in our hometown. I'm proud of you. I'm very proud that you've done that. I am.
Well, I'm proud of you, too. You're a big success.
Well, thank you.
I hear you have like 5,000 people coming to see you.
Yes, we do.
When you do shows. And they're coming to see you and not Don.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
That's right, because I'm dog-ass. But he would not say, hey, I banged her, or hey, I had sex with her. But it was always, hey, that's the girl I took to the prom.
Mm-hmm.
That girl was my date.
That's true. Well,
that's true.
And I,
and
when
that's
the,
nice.
The first time I saw, because I mean, it was Candy, I knew you growing up, and I see Candace Bushnell. And I mean, it had been so long before you started getting all the publicity for Sex and the City that I kind of had to wait a beat, and then I realized it really was you. And then I looked closer, and I mean, you do, I will pay you a compliment. You look just like you did in high school. You really do.
Well, thank you.
You look very nice.
And how does Mike look compared to high school?
He looks like, very nice.
I've been rode hard and put up wet. I know that.
Well, he didn't have the facial hair thing.
I'm on an exercise program, too.
He just started it last week, though.
But they told me that you weighed like 500 pounds.
Really? Is that what, who told you that? Did Charlie Broyhill tell you that? Did our producer tell you that?
Yeah, and then he said he was kidding.
Okay. Oh. That's good. Charlie Broyhill, he weighed 500
pounds. He's trying to scare me.
See, you get mad at me, okay?
Oh, I know he's worse.
I don't really bust your ball. I just do it here.
I know he is worse. He has always been worse. No one had more. You know, as much as you were enjoying this, he was enjoying it 10 times more. 10 times more.
He's trying to repress that Charlie character.
Yes, he is.
I see it.
Lots of clicks and grunts from him.
He doesn't make a lot of jokes, really.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't respond to jokes.
But you know what? Girls go crazy for him.
They do?
You know why? Because he gives off the vibe when he meets a good-looking girl.
Right.
Everybody else in the room is like, oh, my God, look at her. She's so hot. He gives off the vibe of,
I don't care.
You know,
Doesn't matter.
Me no care.
Doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
Me no, the way. You know, me no like you.
I don't care about you. Me just going to act like you stink, so I walk in other direction. I don't care if you exist.
And then the girl, she goes, you know,
like, why isn't he paying attention to me? I better look into this further.
That's right. How come that guy who looks like he has Down syndrome isn't talking to me?
And women of lower intellect pursue him. That's what happens.
They
absolutely.
Do. They do.
Absolutely. They pursue Charlie.
Okay,
right,
and
Rob?
Yes.
And
the thing that amazes me, though, is, Mike, how did you get this job where you just sit around talking all day?
Don picked me up. I was actually, I'd fallen on hard times right after. I was in radio, and then I got out of radio, and then I had a real problem in my life, and I hit bottom, and Don actually picked me up.
Were you an alcoholic?
I was a severe, severe alcoholic, and Don found me in the Bowery. No, it's not true. No.
Candace, we're going to give you a sex quiz now that we give all celebrities.
Okay.
And we hope that you answer these questions honestly.
Okay.
We've taken the quiz ourselves, so nothing we're asking you, we haven't answered ourselves.
Right. Many celebrities have taken this quiz also. Absolutely.
And let's start. Oh, Robbie, I need the marina music, the
but
sex music, please.
How can I take
sex
the quiz? Music. I can't say anything on the air.
You can say this is
these
just
are
yes
all
or no's.
Yes and no's and numbers and stuff.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We'll just wait
it's
now.
It's going to be like no to everything. I haven't done anything.
Oh, I bet you got lots of yeses here. Okay, here
this
we
go. This will be interesting.
All right, Candace Bushnell.
Like the music?
The brains of Sex and the City.
I hate you, Mike.
Oh, wow. Oh, he didn't pick the music. Candace?
No, you know, he's making me take a sex quiz.
Have you ever been in a three-way or had group sex?
Yes, but nothing happened.
Hey. Oh, no, the answer was yes.
Yeah, just yes or no answers will suffice for the sex quiz.
Candace, have you ever had sex while menstruating?
Duh.
Have you ever had a lesbian experience?
No.
Candace, you ever made love in your parents' home?
No.
Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
Yes.
Have you ever J-O'd in front of others?
What's J-O?
You know.
that you're jerking?
No
on?
Way.
Okay. All right. Candace, have you ever had sex in a public place?
No, I hate that stuff.
Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
Are you insane?
Was that yes or no?
No.
No.
Although Playboy called me up.
Really?
Don't I get a little for that?
Okay. There you go. Candace, here's a big one. Have you ever had sex in the no-no?
What's the no-no? No.
No.
Good.
Good.
Oh, he likes that.
Good.
He's really...
Good.
He's got a real problem
but
with that.
But I wonder about other people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you something.
I think every... You know what? A lot of people in my book, that happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, like, why is there all this sex? And I said, well, I think it has more to do with when I was really little. My sisters and I used to tell this story about this family that would get flushed down the toilet and go through the sewer system and then come up in other people's toilets and surprise them. So I think it's just like a five-year-old thing that I haven't lost.
Candy and Lolly and Zizzy.
Candy, Lolly, and Zizzy.
Sitting around and telling stories about families going down the toilet.
Exactly.
Candace, do you swallow?
Of course you do.
Well, you know. Generally.
Have you, but you have. Have you J-O'd today?
No.
No.
I don't have time. I'm on a book tour, babe.
Have you ever had sex in a car?
No, only made out.
Have you ever had a one-night stand or sex with a stranger?
Well, I tried to, but they kept hanging around.
Okay, so they were strangers when you started. And finally, what is your total number of sexual partners?
Well, darling, the total number of every woman, 3.
No, but darling, be honest, please. We need to really answer.
Oh, I don't know.
Give me a guesstimate. What do you say, 30?
10?
40?
20?
50?
We're negotiating here.
Let's call it an even 60.
I don't know. Now, probably like 20.
20.
Wow. 20.
All right, 20. Those are the answers. Let's go to Buzz, who's tabulated those.
Buzz, have you tabulated the score?
One of our more conservative contestants ever, much to my surprise. Only 5 yes answers from Candace Bush.
That's a good Glastonbury, Connecticut girl right
only
there.
Only 5 yes answers from my hometown.
That's me.
That's right.
We're very conservative in Glastonbury.
Yes, yes, we were, and that's
and
why.
And we like to remain that way.
Absolutely.
Only 5 yeses and only 20 partners, yet she is the brains behind Sex in the City.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I've done a lot of interviews, babe.
Yes, you have. All right, well, listen, get out of here.
We really enjoyed having you. It was good to see you.
Hey, it's great to see you.
Wonderful to see you.
I'm sure I won't see you again for another 20 years.
It'll be another 20 years, but that's the, you know, and you'll go on to be a big fan.
And then you'll be visiting Mike at the funeral home.
Another 20 years, I'll be dead. I'll be deceased. We'll try to see me before I die. That's the only thing I would tell you.
Please,
maybe
let's get
see
together.
Your kids or something.
Yeah, and they'll continue.
I'll give you my phone number.
Okay, wonderful. That'd be great. We'll get together.
What is that? Mean I'm giving you my phone number.
You know, my wife and I will come up to New York. We'll all have dinner together.
That sounds great.
All right, fantastic.
That would be fun.
That'll be good.
It's great, what, guys.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm not looking at you anyway.
Okay.
The name of Candace's book is Four Blondes.
Four Blondes.
Four Blondes, and go buy it now. It's a
steal.
Wait
to see a book signing.
At $24. You have to go to book signing?
Where's your book signing?
Hold on. It is at
Olson's. 1200 F Street at
Georgetown.
7 o'clock.
Georgetown.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, right. Georgetown. It's fancy there, isn't
okay,
it?
Okay, very nice there. Absolutely.
Very
good
nice
to see
meet you.
You.
Well, you never stand when people leave.
I am showing her the proper respect.
You're getting more right now than you got on prom night.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, we hugged each other a few times in our high school days.
Of course we did.
Absolutely.
Of course. But you know, I will give you my number.
Okay.
Are you on a commercial now?
No.
No, we're not.
No, I will take you on the air. Absolutely.
But, Mike, it is great to see you.
It is good to see you,
but it's
too.
Weird to see you on the radio.
Hey, Mike, be worried if she starts the number with 555.
You know, like usual.
Like usual. Okay, let me see.
Yeah, it looks like it's a fake number.
No, you can call it and see.
Okay, give it to me. Let me
see. Well, you won't get me because I'm not in New York.
Absolutely not. No, it's private. It's going in my wallet. Absolutely.
Oh, please.
Absolutely.
Please. I was just going to call it to see if it's a real number.
Can Don, call it to see if you're, and then give it back.
Yeah. Okay.
Call it. Right.
I won't give it out on the air. Don't worry.
On the air.
Thank you.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay. All right. He's turning it down, so we don't even hear the beeps. So don't worry about that.
Crap. Hold on.
It's not busy.
Well, no. I dialed the wrong number, my dear.
Oh. Do you have a problem with your digits?
I like you saying my dear.
Yeah, maybe you've noticed on this show.
One guy does all the work, and the other guy sits down in the corner. Okay?
I noticed that.
I'm here doing all the work.
What's going on? What's
right?
Up
while your boyfriend
that?
Is sitting down over there.
Yeah, I noticed, like, Mike's just... The
exclusive back door party.
That is not right. My number.
That doesn't sound right.
That does not sound...
What is this, Mike? I'm not sure.
Ooh, and then that have it all your way.
Can you put
away.
This on the air?
Yeah. And then ask for what drives you wild.
What's that?
Just ask for ass.
Oh, ask for ass.
All right, hold on. No, I'll really try it. Really.
Do you have an answering machine, Candace?
Yes.
Okay. There you go. Mike, there's the number back.
Hi, this is Candace. Please leave a message and I'll call you back shortly. Thank you. Begin recording at the tone. When finished, press the star key. Or hang up.
Hello, Candace. This is Mike O'Mara, the guy that doesn't do any work on the show. Now you're going to get a message from the guy that does all of the work on the show.
Mike wants you so much. Mike wants you so much. You don't know. You don't know how much he wants you, Candace. Desperately, he wants you.
It's not true.
It's entirely true.
I wish you only the best. A lot of success. I'm very happy for you. The whole town is proud of you.
Well, after this show, I don't know.
Mike loves you, Candace.
Bye, Candace.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Another hug.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
All right,
to listen to your message.
Oh, we get to listen to her now. She's leaving now.
Oh, she leaving already?
You want to listen to the message? We play it back because you like to hear our own voice. We're still on the air, incidentally.
You can continue recording when you let go. Like, don't you have any... And you're drinking a super big gulp?
Yeah, right. You got a problem with that, honey?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
It's a waste of soda.
No, you know what that means? Big bladder. Okay, you know what that means? Come on. Do the math.
Lots of pee.
Do the math.
I thought we were going to listen to our machine message. I guess it's gone now.
I effed it up.
Well, you can't listen to it.
I screwed it up? No, you could. When you call...
Well, when I go home, I'm going to listen to it.
No. We could have. There's a button you press that says to hear your message.
Oh, to hear your message in case you want to alter it.
Yes, in case you want to change it.
How did you find your experience on the Don and Mike show? Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was great. In fact, I don't know. I think maybe I should, like, come back and give you guys...
Yeah, please do. You're welcome.
As much as possible.
Anytime you're in Washington.
But I don't think Don would like that.
No, he'd like it.
Oh, no, I love you.
Don likes, you know, he likes to be in control of the whole thing. He likes to have the whole thing working.
Mm-hmm. Right, I control you.
I can tell that.
You bet I control you.
Ooh.
Look at you with no bra on.
God,
I can see right through your shirt.
You cannot. I'm wearing two sweaters.
I swear to God, I can see right through your shirt.
Come and visit us in New York. Come and visit. We go up to New York a couple of times a week, so come up and visit us in the studio up in New York.
I will, definitely.
Very good.
All right, guys, I got to get
okay, bye, Candy. Bye, Candace.
Bye. See you later. Good to see you.
What, no hug?
Don't talk about it.
Don't I get a hug?
Bye-bye.
Don't I get a hug?
Can I have a hug?
Thank you.
Oh.
It's a huggy day. Ow! Oh. Oh. Help! Oh.
Yeah.
Help! Help!
Thank you. It's a good hug.
There you go.
Bye, guys.
It's a good hug. Bye, Candace.
Oh, thank God. So what do you think?
You're a fag. You're a big, grade-A fag.
Yeah, but I took her to the prom, buddy. Took her to the prom.
I'm telling you, she's cute.
Yes, she is.
She's funny.
Yeah. Right.
She's hot.
Yes, she is.
You're a fag.
And I took her to the prom.
Great.
There we go.
Great. You took her to the prom.
Yeah, I did.
You took her to the prom.
Here she is. She's in all the magazines. Took her to the prom. Hey, that's all I got. Might as well brag about it.
No. And she's, frankly, wonderful.
Yes, she was a nice guest.
Yeah.
She would have been a good guest. Take everything else out of the equation.
Even if you never got anything off her.
Well, I don't know who that guy was. Is that her driver or something like that?
I don't know.
I hope that was her driver. Yeah. She gave me a look to kill.
She walked out with her head down, too.
Yeah. No, she was actually looking at something. No. I think. But I hope that is her driver, because if it's anyone else, he was looking at me like, you bastard.
This is the worst answer for you Miss Bushnell's ever done.
You. You've worn out your welcome at Bushwood, sir.
You.
All right,
well, now the pressure's off.
Yeah, it's over. Glad. Too much.
Hey, come on, it was good.
It was good, but it was too much. Yeah. I like it. I like sitting over here and having you do all the work.
Good, you got to see.
That hurt my feelings, incidentally. You know, I do think I'm a contributor. You didn't have to say that in front of Candace. You know, I know we were both having that competitive thing.
Okay.
Hurt my feelings to the bone.
Well, she gave me crap about, well, can't you dial the telephone?
I know. It was a moment. It was a moment. You liked her.
Oh, yeah. Shocker.
You did.
Shocker.
No, you liked her more than you like her. There was something going on there.
I thought so.
You know?
I meant that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I wasn't married, I think I could have liked her. I really do. I mean, you know, she and I have some eye contact.
And hey, now, you know, it happened so quickly. We were going to set up a whole thing with the lineup. And can we really, because she was in here and the interview started, but there was not even a moment's hesitation.
She picked you out immediately.
Right to you.
She picked you out immediately.
Even with my 500-pound girth.
Now, Charlie, come here.
He weighs 500 pounds now.
Did you tell them that he weighs... he's sniffing the seat. Did you tell them Mike weighs 500 pounds?
No. Oh. I didn't give out an actual amount. I said he's not as big and obese as they're making him out to be. He's not
as
a blob.
Who's making him out to be? Oh, is they're making me on the radio?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Exactly.
All right.
What did Candace really say?
When?
When she came in, when she was leaving.
I'm not going to recognize him. When she came in.
Huh.
Right.
She was in a hurry to get away from me.
And then what did she say when she was leaving?
Let's go.
Oh, all right. So there's really nothing, no good insight.
Oh, no. She has another thing to get to for her book signing. So
oh, okay.
Traffic and everything, she wants to make sure she gets there.
Okay.
And that was the driver, Mike.
So I really do think you would agree. I think she would have been, and I didn't know either, she would have been a good guest either way. I've seen her interviewed on TV, and she hasn't been this animated.
Excellent.
Yeah, she was good on the list.
It was terrific.
You know what it was, Mike? It was us. We brought out the best of her.
Thank you, Don.
As we always
team.
Do.
Team.
Team, of course. Team, yes.
There you go. Cheers.
As we do.
Cheers.
And see,
there you go.
And I didn't tell her that you did her up the butt or anything.
No.
You want her backwash?
She could have handled. No, it's the, you know.
Not anymore?
Guys, I mean, it's nice to see her. We were buddies back then. We're buddies today.
For when you're watching the show naked, just.
No. What are you trying to give him? Her Pepsi bottle?
Her Pepsi bottle.
Can I have it?
Sure.
There you go. Let Donald enjoy it.
Thank you.
You did like her. Lemony?
Coppery.
Candacy.
All right, well, see, Mike, no need to be uptight.
No, not at all. It actually went very well.
She's a great guest, and her show is a...
Way to go, Glastonbury, Connecticut. G. Berry, Tomahawks.
Sex in the City, and her book.
We're all proud of her in my hometown. That's the truth. We have... Yeah. I come from a very small town.
Four blondes.
We're all very, very proud
there
of her.
There she is, Candace Bushnell. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Stay by the bat
pole. You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I find you to be odious, abhorrent, and insegregious.
Right, me too.
Can't speak. Am dumb. The Don and Mike Show.
I can't speak. I am dumb.
That was me. That was me during the first 5 minutes of that segment.
I can't speak. I am dumb.
You think she's changed the station already? You think she's still listening to this?
I was concerned with the let's go comment, after she was done, but that might have been the Broyhill factor. She had a schedule to keep. I think that's
it. Yeah, she wants to get down and sell her books.
Yeah. And I heard him saying the phone number, out in the hall. Is it the same one that that Charlie's got, the phone number she gave me, or is that the real private home number that she gave me?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Because I really didn't cheat.
Right.
And write down the number that she gave you.
Right.
Why, did Charlie tell her on the way out?
No, I thought I heard somebody saying, is it the same number, or something like that. So I'm not sure whether it's you know how people that do that type of thing have one number and it sounds like a private number, but it's really not a private
number. I know that Broyhill always asks everybody when they leave, got a number that we can get a hold of you at.
Right. Well, she was fun. I mean, it was good to see her. She was a lot of fun, and I'm extraordinary. I mean, my whole demeanor has changed.
I'm totally
relaxed. I'm back to being the way I can be around here. If I could fart, I would.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I got a question. Did you guys already talk about Kathy Lee's interview this morning on 104?
Yeah, yes, we did. Thank you.
It was great.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. How we spent the first hour today. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, is this Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, I was listening to your show when you had Candace Bushnell on.
Yes.
And you were talking about you were from Glastonbury, Connecticut.
Yes.
I'm also from Glastonbury. I was curious as to when you grew up there.
I was up there through 1977. I left in 1977.
How about you? Did you lay her?
No, actually, I've never heard of her, to be honest with you.
Oh, all right, Jimmy.
The right answer.
You bastard. Those are fighting words.
The right answer would have been, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I later. Everybody in town later, except for Mike.
Everybody, you know. And there was a moment when we were talking to her that I was starting to think about, really, really remember and reflect on going to certain parties where people weren't getting laid, but there was a lot of making out going on.
Right.
And a lot of times when I would be sitting there, shocker, just drinking a beer.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm telling you the truth. That's what high school, that's a big memory of high school with me, is when I was just like hanging out at parties and there were women that I really would have liked to, you know, at the time we used to say it. I mean, it sounds jive, but we used to go out with, go steady with, and they were on the couch with their boyfriends, you know, going, how did I? And I was like going, hey, this is a great party.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. I went to high school with you and Candy.
You did? Who are you?
Fred Webster.
Fred Webster, I remember the name. I don't. It's a long time ago, but I remember you, Fred.
I was making jokes about me going to the junior prom with a double date with her and Billy Ruhlander, and I was trying to get through, but I couldn't earlier.
Oh, well, she's long gone, Fred.
Yes.
But here's to Glastonbury, right, buddy?
Good old Tomahawks.
Thanks.
Did you lay her?
No.
No,
no, Fred, she, I think
nobody
she
got the joke on. You. Nobody's going to play along with
that. Fred the Fag, thank you.
Fred and I, we made love.
Oh. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, where would you, on your list of 100 women that you've most recently rated, who would you rate Candace between?
You know, that's excellent, and I think on tomorrow's episode, we're going to start re-rating the women.
Yeah, we're long overdue.
Because our list is way outdated, and I mean, like, you know, I've still got Leah Remini at number one, and she's just a sentimental choice at number one.
Right. Are you going to add Candace to the list?
Leah's still, you know, we haven't heard from her in a while.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to stop that charade.
Leah would still be in my top 10, but I'll tell you where I would put. You know, Hayes has really fallen down on my list. Although,
why? Why? Because ever since you broke up with Ellen?
No, because of the Margot Kidder incident.
And when she went squirrely.
Yeah, because she was running around with just her bra on and stuff.
I saw a recent picture of her, and she looked a little haggard.
She did.
Did you see the same picture where she was wearing the leather pants?
Yeah, I have Anne Hayes at number 3 on my list.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, you know, this is why we got to redo this list.
Yeah.
Helen Hunt I have is number 4, and I'm not on as hot on her as I used to be.
She's in that great new movie with Richard Gere. I saw a trailer for that.
Where he's the OBGYN.
Yeah, with the, you know, it's like Richard and the women. Dick and the women.
That movie with Kevin Spacey, too. The new Kevin Spacey movie.
I think on my list, I would probably have Candace Bushnell. She's in just below Nicole Kidman, Heather Locklear, and just ahead of Gillian Anderson and Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's good. I put her ahead of Gillian Anderson.
That's about 15.
Absolutely. That's very good.
That's about, you know, I'm telling you, she's not as hot as Heather Locklear or Vanessa Williams.
But where's that rank on your list? 15, 16, right around there?
That's about 19 or 20.
19, 20? You
know, she's hotter than Patricia Heaton, Raymond's wife.
Emmy Award winner.
I can't believe I have her as my 20th hottest woman on the planet.
What were you thinking?
That's
why we have to redo them. We definitely have to redo the list.
Although, you know what? I still got Raymond's wife up there. I like her. I think she's hot.
She's a great actress. So.
Who cares?
Yeah, but it's pure sex with you.
It's
always sex with you, not with me, the fag.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike, did you even...
You know, I'll be honest with you. I thought there was a little something going on between Don and Candace.
Yeah.
I felt a little similar to the way I used to feel in high school, too, you know? When I sit there, sit idly by, watch Candace entertain another gentleman. As I sat around telling my stories, making people laugh.
I thought there was something between she and I.
I think so.
Yeah, there was.
I thought so.
There was.
I'm not BSing you.
No, there was something. She was definitely, you know, into you. I was over here just like, you know, it's like, hey, how are you? Good to see you. So anyway, Don, and then I just sat over there just like I did at the high school parties, Don. Same goddamn way I used to do at the high school parties.
Hello.
Mike, did you even try to get anything off her? Did you attempt to bang Candace Bushnell?
No, I did not.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I think I'm a perfectly normal, well-adjusted adult male, sir, and I believe that I was a perfectly normal high school student.
Sound like a pussy to me.
Well, that's great. You can call me a pussy, but I didn't do it, and I'm telling the truth. I'm not sure why, because it was too long ago.
Hello, Don and Mike.
But maybe it's because I was a pussy.
Hello.
Mike O'Mara.
Yes.
Did you ever used to J-O to Candace?
No.
No?
No.
I would.
No, absolutely not.
I will tonight.
I do.
I do.
Yeah.
I do, Darlene.
Darlene,
I do.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oops. Hello there. You're on the air. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Mike.
What?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You guys were just friends in high school and you took her to the prom?
Yes.
The all-important one. Did you have a condom in your wallet prom night?
That is hard for me to remember, but the odds are that, yes, I did.
So you wussed out when he came crunching.
No, the condom was in the wallet, like, just in the wallet.
Every
like,
day.
During the 70s, we all carried one around, you know, with the outline of it in your wallet. I might have had it then.
How old was that condom?
That condom was probably, like, circa 1958.
Benjamin Franklin's condom.
It was an old one. It was sewn together.
It was Dwight Eisenhower's condom.
It was Dwight David Eisenhower's condom.
It said, I like icon.
It was a D-Day condom. It one that was issued to the GIs. Actually, when my father came back from World War II, I stole it out of his duffel bag. And I kept it.
Didn't it say North rules? Wasn't it a Civil War condom
you
had?
Absolutely. No, actually, that condom dates back earlier than that. That was, I think it was actually a British condom that was stolen. It was found in a certain archaeological dig. It was an Indian condom.
I thought it was one of the taxation without representation Trojans.
Oh, it was the Boston Tea Party condom.
Oh, it's still smell the tea.
Yeah, they threw the tea into the harbor and they gave out condoms.
Hello.
An old condom. It's actually a caveman condom.
Request for fire condom. Ray Dong Chong condom.
Very bulky because it's made out of rock.
Gorilla skin.
It was carved. You know, it was beaten with another stone in the shape of a penis.
Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike, I just wanted to say this, Carl, and these nuts.
Oh, go to hell. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike, did you get laid in high school?
But not really. It wasn't a high school related getting laid. It was on a vacation. Thanks for hanging up.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, good good job on fantasy football. Hey, I got a pick, bones pick with you guys. A couple of weeks ago, I tried to explain a story, and basically, you turned off my mic and you quoted somebody else.
Well, hold on, who is this? Lisa's just trying to tell me something in the headphones. Who is this?
Yeah, does the name Joe Buchanan ring a bell?
No.
Well, basically, a couple of weeks ago, I told a story that.
Charlie Broyles coming in here.
Who is this guy, Charlie?
This is the loon who thinks that Randy Macho Man Savage
knows.
No.
Get help.
I have all the proof.
No.
No, you're a nut.
Proof.
You're a nut. We're not going to talk to you. You're a nut.
Goodbye.
Proof.
Get help.
Goodbye.
Go away forever.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, Don.
I was happy for that call, though. Kind of broke things up a little bit.
Hello. Hello. Donaldo and Miguel.
Don and Mike?
Yeah, we are. Hi.
I like to hear Don play the role of Mike and Buzz play the role of Candace on the prom night.
I'd like to see a car drive right through your windshield.
I would like to sever your head
and have the blood splatter all over your fine new upholstery.
Hello, Don and Mike. I can play both roles. No need for Buzz to play. Mike. Mike, I'm so wet. Mike, F me.
I can play my role. You know what? I'd be happy to play my role. I'll do it. I'll play along.
God damn it, Mike. Me so horny. I'm so wet. I'm a high school senior, and I'm really horny.
I can't do anything, Candace. There's nothing I can do, because I'm a big, hairy pussy.
Can't I please touch your private area?
Absolutely not, but I could tell you a story to make you laugh. Because I'm everyone's friend.
That's why all the girls said, if you're horny, go out with Mike.
Yes, because he'll be safe. Time to go to the prom now.
Mike, will you drop me off at the house of the boy who's going to lay some pipe tonight?
Yes, absolutely. I sure had a good time. Good night.
Would you please wait in the car while I go in and get laid?
Oh, absolutely. How long will you be?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes, fantastic. If it's longer, don't worry. I'll amuse myself listening to the radio.
And then, when I come back to the car, would you wipe the...
Filet going right there.
I don't think so. No, that stuff's on the air.
There you go.
Yeah, I think so.
Glad I could help.
That made it on the air.
Then consider it done.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. Mike, I wanted to ask you, at the time of the prom, were you a virgin?
No.
you were not a virgin. So that means that you were a gentleman. If you was a virgin, then it's a different story. But if you were not a virgin, that means you were just being a gentleman. I respect you for that.
That prom was almost a year after I lost my virginity.
Oh, really? Yep. So you were just being a perfect gentleman, that's all. And don't worry about what them other guys say.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure
being your perfect gentleman today.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, everybody. I'm the perfect gentleman. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, turn your radio down, please.
Radio's off.
Oh, I heard something. Who's this?
That's Dan from New York.
Yes, hi.
We called up to play our siren over the radio for you.
What kind of siren?
We also want to know, when he went on his prom night, did he do a warm-up before he left the house?
Did I clean the pipes?
Your jail?
Yes.
No, I did not. No, I did not. So that might have added to my frustration.
What kind of siren you got?
Oh, it makes all kinds of noises here.
I mean, what are you, a cop or?
No, we're paramedics.
Paramedics, okay.
In New York.
Let's hear it.
Ambulance.
We love that. The ambulance. Let's hear it.
Ambulance.
Go.
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 And that was basically on prom night. That's what was going on in my pants.
Well, you're supposed to warm up a thoroughbred before you take it out for a run.
All right, now listen, Mike. Hold on.
Yes.
I've got someone on the phone who can truly relate.
Oh, good.
To your situation.
Good. A kind, friendly voice.
Someone who understands what it's like to be with a beautiful woman.
Right.
Yet have nothing happen.
So this is someone who's just like me.
Say hello to your soulmate.
Hello, soulmate.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Dennis, how are you?
Hey, you know, I did go to prom when I was in high school, but the football coach sort of had to ask the woman for me. So I did go, and believe me, like, I'm the same way as you were.
Dennis, we're similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
So many ways.
So many ways.
We are.
We enjoy a good drink.
Yeah,
we enjoy a good conversation. We like a laugh.
Yeah.
We like the company of beautiful women.
Yeah. And we never get laid. But, you know, I didn't get laid until I was 24, but at least I got it.
That's right, Dennis.
But
you're a perfect gentleman.
And I was the same way in high school. Nobody would come near me.
Dennis, I'm sure we were very similar, and I'm sure you hung around all the cool people, too, because you were very amusing.
I finally got second in the jock hall in my senior year.
Right. You got the what in the what?
The jock hall.
The jock hall?
Yeah. You know, the sports guys.
Oh, you got in with the sports guys?
Yeah.
All right, great. Okay.
You know,
and much like Dennis, I wasn't much of an athlete in high school either.
Oh, I know. That's why I was a manager for the football, baseball, and basketball team.
I would have been, but the position was taken.
Oh, that's why you went in the theater.
Yes, that's right. That's why I went into the theater.
All right, Dennis, listen, it's enough. It's enough here on Soulmate to Soulmate. We gotta go.
Okay. Bye, bye, Mike.
Take care, old friend.
Okay, dear soul.
Dear soul. Kindred soul, Dennis.
Kindred souls.
There he is.
Okay.
Me and Dennis.
On that note, are you?
Conjoined. Two identical high school careers in different parts of the country.
Amazing.
Twin sons of different mothers. Michael Mara, Dennis Burberry.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Enjoying all the same things.
Hold on a second. You know, people will not stop calling you about this tonight.
I know.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
Yes, hi.
Hi. You know, you should get rid of Charlie Stossel. Because Mike can do a better job, I think.
Of what?
Because he went to high school with a chick that looks that good, and then
I get it.
You walked
now.
Right into that. You walked into that.
I said I didn't get it at first. I didn't understand where he was going. Like, so you, yes, this is true.
Have a good day, guys.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye now.
Bye, buddy.
Have a nice day.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi.
John Kim.
Oh, John Kim, our yellow friend. Hello, John Kim.
Hey, I want to talk about tantric sex. You guys ever try that?
Talk about what?
Tantric sex.
Tantric sex.
It's bull ass. It's crap that Sting makes up to say that he can have sex for 6 hours at a time. It's bull.
No, man, it works.
Oh, John Kim, you wouldn't know.
I had some today.
No, it works for you because you probably got some kind of bladder infection.
But no, not me, man. I had some tantric sex today.
You did not. John Kim, let me just describe it. He is a... He's a big, fat Asian guy who likes...
Korean, I believe.
Who likes same thing. Who likes making it with big, fat chicks.
I was with a big, fat chick today, man. I'm telling you.
You were with a big fatty today?
Yeah.
Maybe his tantric sex involved the search.
Yes. Oh, yeah, right.
It's going to be a good day.
It wasn't able to come to fruition because he couldn't find it.
It was a long journey, eh, John?
Oh, there it is. Hey, I'm satisfied.
No, I'm telling you, man, it works.
All right, how long did you have sex today without having an orgasm?
Hour and a half.
Liar.
I am not a liar.
You had full intercourse for an hour and a half?
What was the estimated weight of the woman you had sex with?
250.
All right, there's the reason.
250.
There's the reason. You bang a pig who weighs 250. No wonder it took you an hour and a half to get your nut off.
But she got big jugs, man, I'm telling you.
Big jugs, like, filled with Hostess Twinkie goo.
Ask Buzz if he's ever done tantric.
You ever do tantric, Buzz?
Not per se, no.
You ever read about it?
Not per se. That's Buzz's way of saying, I've experimented.
I know we've discussed it on the show before. I think it's crap.
No, you got to read about it.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's all of this kung fu crap where it's like, in your mind, you train your mind, and you can control your thing. And that.
I think it's just preventing yourself from geeshing. That's tantric sex, right?
Yeah, it's prolonging the act. And
it's like every time you're getting ready to geesh, you slow down and stop.
No,
that's not it.
That's not the goal. See, the goal is to caress and have an emotional link as opposed to, you know.
Oh, that sucks. Goodbye.
I like the non-tantric sex.
I like the good old kind.
Good old-fashioned kind.
With you on the bottom.
Right. Frida on top.
Mm-hmm.
Me on the bottom.
Estimated time?
60 seconds tops.
60 seconds. Old-fashioned way.
That's it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, I'd just like to rename the show the Don and Gelman Show.
Oh,
it just doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop for you.
Oh, my God, I fear I've forever damaged my reputation as a super stud.
Your reputation as a cocksmith.
As a cocksmith.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Listen, I was listening last night. I'm calling from New York, so I couldn't get in on time last night. But Bart was saying he wanted to perm his hair.
Yes, my son desperately wants to perm his hair.
Tell him not to do it. I did it when I was young. First of all, I looked like an idiot. Second of all, my hair is falling out now. I did it. It was the dumbest thing I ever did.
Right. Well, no problem. There's no problem with him doing that. Okay. As a matter of fact, there's no problem with him doing anything anymore.
Why? Does he do what he wants?
No, because we are exercising our rights to be pissed at him in a parental way.
Uh-huh.
For the last couple of years... Oh, goodbye. Let me tell everybody. Thank you for listening in New York.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. You know, for the last couple of years, we've had this deal where if he gets up in the morning and he says he doesn't feel good, that we turn it around on him and we say, okay, if you really don't feel good enough to go to school, then you don't have to. But think about this. I go to work when I don't feel good. Mom does all the stuff that she has to do when she doesn't feel good.
Right.
So really think about it. If you're really, really sick, then stay home. And over the last couple of years, it's worked pretty good where, like, 9 times out of 10, he'll say, you know what, I really feel good enough to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, we get up this morning, I come downstairs, I say to Frida, where's the boy? He's sick. I said, he's sick?
Mm-hmm.
He was fine last night. He was up at 10:30 last night on the phone calling a bunch of girls trying to get them to go to the movies with him and his friends on Friday night. So I go in, I stick my head, and I go, hey, bud, how you doing? Hi, Dad. I said, what's the problem? Oh, my stomach hurts. And I, same deal. I said, you don't feel good enough to go to school today? And he said, I wouldn't be able to perform to the top of my usual game. I wouldn't be able to give 100%. And I said, fine. That's fine. So you're not going to school today? No. Now, keep in mind, he started school. He went back to school last Monday. This is the second week of school.
Yeah.
He's been to school 6 days, and already he's taking a day off for a sick day.
Right.
Already. So I said, fine. Your decision. And then I got pissed, and I came back upstairs, and I said, I was pissed inside, not outside. I came back upstairs, and I said, are you sure about this? I'm getting together. Yes. He's really laying it on thick.
Mm-hmm.
I said, fine. You cannot leave this room today. Under no circumstance can you leave this room today.
He said,
well, what if I have to get a drink of water?
I said, you can get a drink of water.
What if I have to go in the other room to do work on the computer for school?
I said, you can do that.
But beyond that, you are not leaving this room today. He said, okay. And he went back to sleep, which I think was really the real problem.
Right.
Because a couple hours later, he wakes up,
right.
You know, and is like, I hear downstairs, hey, Mom and Dad. You know, and we're sitting at the table and go, what? I just want to see how you're doing. He said, we're doing fine. Shut the door. So that's been all day.
So he's kind of had a free day today.
Yeah, all day in his room.
Yeah, we're pissed about it.
Well, what are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, really, at some point, what are you going to do with a kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we said get up, go to school. It's the right thing to do. I don't feel good. Okay, fine. Fine. You know, the virtually what well, we did is lock him in a closet tonight. I mean, we left
him
in his room.
You didn't rely on any of your medical training to, you know, take his temperature or anything?
No. My medical training says he's full of bull S today.
Mm-hmm.
That kid was fine today. Absolutely fine. I think he's out of the house right now, as a matter of fact. I think Frida took him to his piano lesson, you know. Because she's got the schedule. She keeps him on a schedule. And I know why the kid didn't go to school today.
Hello.
Honey, hi.
Well, hi, Boo.
It's because the kid is overtired. And this is a fight we go through every night when it comes to be 10 o'clock. And I come upstairs and I say, time to go to bed. And he gives me crap. And I say, listen, it's time to go to bed. You have to get up at 6 in the morning. Time to go to bed. Then he goes, Mom. And then Mom comes upstairs and she'll come in and she'll say to me, give him just 10 more minutes. Give him just 15 more minutes. He's overtired, right? That's the reason he didn't go to school today, right?
Well, I think so. I mean, I didn't feel a favor, but I, you know, that always that 1% of you hopes that it's not anything bad.
Yeah, that's the 1% where the kid gets to school and the nurse calls and says he's been taken to the hospital with appendicitis.
Oh, but honey, you and I both know, please.
Oh.
We know today was 100% bull ass.
I think, like you, he pain bothers him. He doesn't suffer well. Okay. Uncomfortable. I mean, those are your genes.
No, those are your genes.
Not me. You're the one who is the giant baby when you don't feel good.
Oh, please. But I'm here. I don't feel good now when I'm here.
You're not feeling well?
No.
What's the matter?
I totally smart. I've had a cold all week.
Mm.
I'm here.
You didn't even talk about it.
No, of course not.
Well, you don't have a cold.
Yes, I do have a cold.
I haven't heard you sneeze one time.
Honey, just because I don't sneeze doesn't mean I'm not congested.
Okay, well, what is a cold? How can you tell you have a cold?
It would be like this. Because my throat hurts, my nose is stuffy, and I can't hear out of my left ear.
Mm. That's from cigar smoke. I get that way when I sit in your room.
Oh, please. Listen, the discussion's not about me. I'm here doing my job today.
All right.
The discussion was that this morning, I think, we made the wrong decision. And I'm not saying you, and I'm not saying me. I think together, we made the wrong decision to let him lay in his ass and stay in bed today.
No, I mean, life changes now. I mean, he goes to bed
he wasn't
super
sick.
Early. It's just going to be no fun around here.
Okay. So does that mean, does that mean you start listening to me a little bit now about the bedtime?
No, I mean, because he's in 10th grade, sometimes they do have to stay up late and study. I mean, that, you don't understand, that they do have a heavy workload that they have to stay up late for, and they can't always go to bed, you know. But if he doesn't have that, he's in bed. I agree with you.
Okay.
All right, Sugar Bear.
See, occasionally I am the man of the house.
You are a good dad.
Occasionally I do make the correct decisions. And I should say, for the record, last night when we had the same discussion, she did come in to me. See, here's what happens. I tell my kid last night, it's 10 o'clock, go to bed. You have to get up in 6 hours. He says, oh, I don't want to go to bed yet. I said, I don't want to hear it. Go to bed. I go down to our bedroom. I'm reading a book, got the TV on. Phone, the intercom rings.
No, that was Sunday. But
I pick it up, and it's Frieda, and she says, hey, let him stay up a couple minutes.
No, that was Sunday, because he was studying that night.
She says, let him stay up a couple minutes. No, honey, it was last night. It's the night the football game was on.
Sugar Bear, it was Sunday when there's also football on, because I said to you...
Honey... It was last night when the Jaguars were playing the Colts.
No,
because
Carolyn,
you said to me,
you're right,
he doesn't have school tonight. He's just arranging a date tonight.
No, it was Sunday Friday night because I said to you, he's working, but you're right, he played, you know, he goofed off during the day, so if he had had that much work to do, he should have done it during the day.
All right, well, all I know is that sometime over the last 48 hours, my wife actually said to me, you are correct.
Sure, you know. Bear, I've never said you were a bad dad.
No, it's not a question of being a bad dad. It's a question of, it's a question of being overruled.
It's husband that I've critiqued you on.
Yeah, this happens a lot where I will say something, and then later my decision is overruled.
Your decision is never. You are the master of our house.
Okay.
It's always whatever daddy says.
Okay,
everybody
then listen.
Everybody knows that here.
Okay, then listen. I'm serious. Tonight, he's in his room
all
night.
I relinquish my position. You are now in charge of your son. It's you and him. I'm just here to cook meals and service you sexually.
Okay.
All right.
Tonight, that kid stays in his room.
Whatever you say.
Beautiful.
You're in charge.
Bye-bye. Leave him in his gulag tonight.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, TP.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Look at your face.
I don't know.
Look at your face.
I don't know what to tell you.
Not easy. You're king of the world today.
Yeah.
King of the world. Candace loves you.
Yeah.
You're master of your home. Everything is fine.
Everything's fine.
We are all S.
Let's break, and we will come right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
You know, Beverly, golfers like to keep dirt and debris off their golf balls.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly when you're putting. They call me three-putt buck. That's why we have cleaning devices around the golf courses. You know, those things you squish up and down. Well, one golfer didn't use a wet towel or any cleaning device. He licked his balls clean.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Reminding you to pull out.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, we got to make this a fast break. We're running late. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
Don?
Yes.
Robert, how you doing?
Hi, Robert.
You are officially my hero.
Really? Why?
I just heard you and Frida's little back and forth banter there, and it was great to hear a couple talk about discipline without going at it at each other. That was refreshing.
Thank you. Yes, we will simply lock the boy in the room for the rest of the night.
That's right.
It was incredible.
Incredible!
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're stopping by the hardware store on your way home, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
With a special lock. Locking from the outside in.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Actually, you're my hero because your wife said, I'm here just to cook and be your sexual servant.
There you go.
Oh, please, and you know, that's bull ass.
Goodbye.
And I think Mike is dreamy for not getting anything off of Candace.
You think I'm just dreamy?
Yes.
Right back at you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, can I talk to Don and Mike?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike. Yeah. When I grew up, I had a bed and was lucky enough to have a dresser in my room. When you lock Bart in his room, what you got in there? TV, VCR, phone?
He has a TV. But listen, I mean, when we lock him in his room...
You don't lock him in his room.
And we don't lock him in his room. But, I mean, literally, we don't lock him in his room.
You're going to have, like, child services out there. There's no locking in the room.
No, I mean, we leave the door open, and he has a TV in his room.
Big oak door with a latch on it.
He doesn't have a VCR in his room. He doesn't have video games in his room. Although I hear this all the time. The dad, my friends have.
Do you have a TV in the room?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he does. No cable, no satellite.
Right.
Just 4, 5, 7, and 9. That's all he gets.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. I think that's terrific.
So, yeah, I mean, he's got stuff he can do in there. You know, like read his books and do his schoolwork and stuff.
Study hard.
Right. Right.
And figure out how to pick the lock.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Remember when you were talking about Fanny in the UK, how it means a C word?
Yes. Fanny equals cunny.
Right. See you in Toledo. The actual word that they use for the fanny packs or whatever you call them, they call them boom bags.
Boom bags.
All right, gotcha.
Because they said fanny packs, that would be filthy in London.
Oh, listen, speaking of the UK, I do have the email that I sent to Simon.
Ah, very good.
Oh, yeah. So you tell me if I was forceful enough.
Well, I didn't think it was an issue of force as much as just severing.
Okay. Now, keep
in mind, you know, we were, I was actually, when Simon came on the show yesterday, after we made that big deal, we kind of joked about it, and then he came on, and I don't know if you were thinking like I was thinking, that it was, even though we were joking about, oh, God, it's Simon, it was kind of like a second chance to see maybe if Simon would turn us around, and...
No, I thought...
You knew he'd crap out again?
He died.
He totally died.
He died. So here's the email I sent him this morning. Howdy, Simon. Sorry not to get back to you till this morning, but it was quite an exciting game last night as Indianapolis crushed Jacksonville. In your last email, you mentioned you'd love to have a regular slot to call the program as our brain in Britain. Unfortunately, with the spontaneous nature of the show, all incoming calls usually are rebuffed as we are on another tangent. So how about this one? On the occasions Britain is in the news, i.e., Lady Di runs her car into a pole, John Lennon is shot, the royal mum finally kicks, I'll call you and set something up. Until then, though, as far as the radio show goes, let me call you first. That's pretty much the rule we have for all of our celebrity guests.
There you go.
That's nice.
I do look forward to continuing to chat with you via email.
Good.
Stay out of the pubs and have a great pit this morning.
What's that?
That's...
Oh, a pit, yeah, Don. Yeah. Yeah.
Then I wrote, yours in Christ, Don.
That's good.
So that's
very clear. It's not too rough.
That's a forceful...
Not nearly, you know, as rough as, you know, it could have been. I think it was perfect. It does the job.
Forceful while friendly. Mm-hmm. If I get a response from Simon, you'll be the first to know.
Absolutely. I think that's terrific.
And if he calls the show again, then, you know... Katie, bar the door. then he's getting it. I mean, if he calls
again... He's getting with both barrels.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, what has a little wang and hangs down?
You know, we're not really enamored of joke tellers on this show.
This is great.
Is it so great that you're willing to put your phone number up as collateral?
Hell no.
Okay, then. See
you
later.
Better not finish that joke, then.
All right.
Bye. There he goes, another joke.
And besides, that might have just been a guy ripping off a joke that I saw. And don't ask me why I was watching Arliss, but I was watching Arliss.
Yeah, I watch Arliss sometimes because it's just so crappy.
You just
want to... I log time with Arliss to verify that the show is continuing to be... And it is horrible. And you know what I noticed about Arliss? They play that garbage cartoon music through the whole thing. I mean, that's all Arliss... How can that show be on the air?
He is on the phone with an agent for somebody, for HBO or something. He says, yeah, here's a riddle for you. What has a one-inch penis and hangs upside down? And he says, what? He says, a bat. What has a nine-inch penis and hangs up? I don't know.
Click, and he hangs the phone up on him.
That's what I think that guy was trying to do.
Cut to the overacting Asian secretary.
Hello. She's not bad.
I hate her.
She's not bad.
She's horrible.
I normally don't go for Asian chicks. She's not bad.
I'm not talking about, like, to look at. I'm talking about just her overacting, like they all overact on that show.
You know,
with the king of the overactors, Robert Wool.
Robert Wool.
I saw Robert Wool in... did you know that Robert Wool is in Blue Chips?
Who's he in Blue Chips?
I think it's Blue Chips.
No. He's not Happy.
No.
Because Happy's the recruiter. Nick Nolte is the coach. That's the movie with Shaq. I'm
trying to think if it's Blue Chips.
And Penny Hardaway.
There's a scene where he's like an extra.
No. I would almost bet you on that, because I know Al Bundy's in that movie.
I'm thinking now, because I was watching a lot of Blue Chips over the weekend.
Al Bundy's the reporter who keeps asking...
He calls him Ed, and the guy's name is Ed O'Neill, and he calls him Ed.
Who keeps asking Nick Nolte the questions. Hey, you know who I find very...
I think Robert Wool has a small part in Blue Chips. I'm trying to think if it was any other movie that I was watching, and I think he's got a real bit part where he plays kind of
what
a
scene?
Recruiter agent kind of guy, where he plays kind of a recruitment guy, and it's in one of the scenes. Is he in there?
I disagree.
We'll have more info in a moment, but yes, he is, according to my God, Leonard Maltin.
Okay.
There you go.
You are correct, sir.
Absolutely.
Robert Wool's listed in the credits of Blue Chips?
Right between Anthony C. Hall and Jerry Tarkanian.
And he plays a, he's not a sports agent, but he plays somebody who's giving him advice about recruiting. You know, it's right before they go on that whole riff where he goes to visit the kids and he sees all the other coaches lined up like that one old
when he's in the parade,
that one old coach with the big glasses,
right, with the Harry Carey glasses.
Like bad acting 101.
All right, I'll give it to you.
I was totally wrong about that.
I love Blue Chips. Whenever that movie is on,
it's a phenomenal. I think it's one of Nick Nolte's best movies ever.
I stay with it. And that girl who's Nick Nolte's wife in the movie?
Yes, she was also in Dances with Wolves. She is Stands with a Fist.
Very doable.
She's great. Yeah, she's great. And, you know, the thing that makes Blue Chips so interesting now is the whole Bobby Knight crap. And they use a lot of real Bobby Knight in that movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, the game, supposedly, that was played, that they used the film for, hold on a second, of that movie, was a real game that was really played by the real players, and Bobby Knight was really coaching
right
against Nick Nolte.
It's so funny to see Bobby Knight now, you know.
Hello?
Donnie Mike.
I know, it's incredible.
Incredible!
Hi, what can we do for you?
Donnie Mike.
Yes.
You're,
How old are you?
Turning your...
How old are you?
How old am I?
Yes, 18. How old are you?
18.
You are not 18.
You're lying. You're not allowed to call the show.
You are not 18.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you. Like,
What?
Since you're not dating Candace, maybe I can, because your mama.
It's a 15-year-old kid giving me crap. That's what happened.
Terrific.
15-year-old kid giving me crap.
That's
after
a
today's
kid
show.
Giving you crap.
I'm just about enough. I'm glad we're going to news, because I've reached my goddamn zenith. And
we are. That's it. Let's go right to the cubicle.
Right up here, Rob. Absolutely, right up here.
Let's go to the world of Guy Burnley right now.
It's that time.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Verboten.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
It's me.
He made it up.
And Buzz, I don't have to ask the lead story tonight.
You don't?
Incredible chemistry between myself and Candace.
That is big news, but not my lead this evening.
What is your lead?
Tonight?
Is your lead the fact that Mike really didn't get anything off her in high school?
I'd just like to say, let me just put this to bed right now, since it's the last word on the subject. Uh-huh. There are a lot of guys, and I know this, everybody goes through this when you're getting your courage up to ask somebody to the prom.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a very stressful time,
yes,
whether you're even going to get a date to go to the prom.
That's right.
I didn't have to do that, because she asked me. I just wanted to say that. She asked me to go to the prom. Now, I didn't get anything off her. You can call me a pussy all you want.
She was looking at her list and she said, let me see, A, B, C, D, E, F, F. Oh, F, A, G. Oh, Mike. I'll call Mike.
I had three beautiful prom dates. Didn't get anything off any of them. Because I was a gentleman.
Yes, you were. Really, what is your lead story?
The real lead tonight. John Lennon's killer wants out.
Yeah, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Devote some time for this.
Good. I think you wrote Charlie Stossel a letter.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I think you did.
Hey, Rob, go up to the office.
We got the sickest letter you will ever believe.
I don't want to read this when Charlie's on the show.
From a new guy or one of the regulars?
No, from a new guy, from a new inmate. It's up on the desk. I wrote Charlie Stossel mail.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Have that for you. And Buzz's story about the Lennon killer.
What's Chapman. The Mark David Chapman.
Right.
Yeah, let him out.
Asswipe. Stay tuned. Not you, Buzz. Him.
Right.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
I am a big man, professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Cresta?
They've faced those demons before, Don and Mike.
Listen, we've not even talked about the KO contest today. We got to devote time to that tomorrow. We got to watch your tapes.
We've got some tapes that we want to look at.
Keep sending them. You from the neck up. J-O-ing. Send it to Don and Mike J-O tape. Care of CBS.
No bad parts.
10800 Main Street. Toothless Fairfax, Virginia. 22030. Get them to us. Now, need more J.O. tapes. Now here's Buzz.
The guy who killed John Lennon wants out of jail. He'll ask for his freedom for the first time in 20 years when he goes before a parole board next week. But Mark David Chapman admits he's lucky to be alive. In an interview with a British paper, he says, and I quote, "I should have been executed, you know. I deserve to die." Nevertheless, Chapman says he should be set free now because he's a born-again Christian who could have, in his words, a positive impact.
Oh, please. You know, they all are.
We've heard this before.
They all kill somebody, and then they're all born again.
He's a jailhouse Christian. That's what they call him in there. And they're, you know, I mean, he's... He's not going to get out. He's like Charlie Manson. He's not going to get out.
No, he says
of course, they said that about Hinckley, too. And, well, he didn't get out.
Well, Hinckley...
Did he get that limited thing?
Hinckley is, like, walking around and stuff. Yeah. Although, technically, Hinckley didn't kill anybody. Although, he sure did F up James Brady. Yes,
James Brady wounded a couple other people, as well as almost killing the president. But, I mean... Did he? He got that, didn't he? That limited release.
He's able, like, to get out and go to Montgomery Mall and stuff.
Oh my God!
Go to Dippin' Dots, ice cream of the future.
You know, the thing is, they're not all going to be like Charlie Manson when they get up for parole, where they come in and start carving swastikas on their forehead and doing a, you know, doing Tai Chi in front of the parole.
Some will try to fool you. Yes.
Mark David Chapman says he prayed to the devil for the strength to kill the former Beatle.
Oh.
But now he says he gets the highest score on the mental wellness tests they give. Chapman says John Lennon would forgive him and also would want his release, but...
Oh, yeah. And why don't we dig John up and ask him what he thinks about that?
Yeah, or maybe just pull the living Beatles. Now Ringo would know what was going on.
But the New York Post says the parole board has received a passionate letter arguing just the opposite from widow Yoko Ono.
Don't worry, don't worry,
you guys are ready for that.
That alarm has ever gone off.
The Yoko alarm.
Here it is. Yoko Ono, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't worry. Do you know how difficult it was to write this story so that the last word in it was Yoko Ono?
And you couldn't write it without mentioning Yoko Ono.
Here's my favorite part, right here.
You know, the first thing that really the Chapman said when they brought him in, they said, why'd you shoot John Lennon? He said, I shot the husband. That's the first thing he said.
Then they let him out, if that was true.
All right, listen, Buzz, I want to share with you something.
Yes?
Speaking of scary, murderous guys.
Oh, God. This is the sickest letter
we've
got.
This letter for Charlie Stossel.
Yeah, this is not pretty.
Now, I'm not even going to read this to Charlie's face.
Okay. It's probably for the best.
This comes from... a convict in El Dorado, Kansas.
El Dorado, they call it.
Yep. El Dorado, real joint.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and you know, they always have the stamp on the back that says, this correspondence was compiled from an institution operated by the Kansas Department of Corrections. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing is censored.
Right.
So
they say nothing is censored, so that means anything can go out. And right. That's just a little warning, and right. Rightly so. Mm-hmm.
The guy starts... You know, speaking of Mark David Chapman, mm-hmm. The guy starts his letter to movie man Charlie Stossel with a nice demonic picture.
Ugh.
And now, keep in mind that we have had a couple of cons who have written letters to Charlie over recent weeks. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're all done with a humorous slant.
Right.
It's true. Yeah, this one is just... It's obviously somebody who was influenced by what they heard with other letters, and this is just kind of creepy.
Don't worry, Charlie. Oh, it will be so sweet to hear you scream while I cut holes into your body and penetrate them with my violent rage. Come to me, Chuck. I will show you my mind. I would love to take a chunk out of your leg, lick your wound to the bone, drill a hole in your bone, and suck out your marrow.
Lovely.
Ah, the screams you would make me so stiff. I would have to shove a cattle prod up your...
Wow.
And shock you a few times just to get good anal spasms going.
Oh, my God.
Ah, the feces runs down your leg. And I take a small glass rod and shove it into your...
yeah, I think we have the idea.
To the hilt and smash your penis with a rubber hammer.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, what fun we shall have. I would take your poops and stroke my...
Oh, my God.
And make you lick it. You have such pretty eyes, Charlie. I can't wait to take a... hot soldering iron and put it to one eye at a time. Did you know your eye explodes when this happens? I believe I could be very excited by now, and I would start to have love with you in your warm eye sockets.
Oh.
Wow,
Charlie. We didn't think it'd be a good idea to read this to Charlie.
No.
After all this, I will feed you feet first into a wood chipper at the nearest pig farm. I'll save your head, of course,
got to have my mementos. Maybe run barbed wire through your eye sockets and hang your head at the Super Bowl. Then the world would see you one last time. No, I want you to myself. Have sex with your skull when I want and how I want. You're mine, Chuck. Ta-ta, Chuck.
There's a reason that guy's locked up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
And then he also sends along a beautiful Garfield cartoon.
Wow. Oh, well, wonderful. Christy has a sense of humor.
Quite an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, very
nobody
nice.
Tell Charlie about that letter, okay?
Mom's yeah. the word.
You want to read the cartoon?
I do.
There you go,
thank
Robbie.
You.
That,
knock yourselves out. That's Rob Spiewak wanting to read the cartoon. He likes your work, sir.
That's for you. And nobody tell Charlie about that letter. Okay. We're not going to read him that letter. When
that might really disturb him.
He yeah. comes in to review movies.
He has enough night terrors as it is.
I would think that whoever this inmate is in, what's the town, Buzz?
El Dorado.
I would think the inmate's just trying to be funny.
I hope so. I hope so.
I really would hope so.
I mean, you know, because we've gotten letters like this and we've laughed a lot.
Because, after all, Charlie is just a movie guy.
Right. Yeah.
He's just a guy who reviews movies on this
show.
Yeah,
and none of this has any real significance, okay?
Right.
Please. God.
Please.
No.
Have sex with your warm eye socket.
You know, it was the barbed wire. And the Super Bowl it got to me.
No, with me it was the take the soldering iron, blot out your eyes.
Might have been the drill, you know, cut the wound open, then drill the bone and suck out the marrow.
That was a good one.
That was a good one, too.
That was a good one. And don't forget the glass rod.
The glass rod inserted and then smashed with a rubber mallet
right.
inside.
On his pee-pee.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Buzz, hold on. Anyway, listen. Yeah. That's why they shouldn't let this Chapman guy out.
Hey, what's for dinner?
Okay? That was the point of all of that.
Good point.
You lock that freak up and you knock him out.
Right.
The son of a bitch.
Take him out.
Killed the great John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
Never let him out. Never let him out.
Well, how do you feel about it?
Never let him out!
Amen.
I mean that. I'm serious. F him. Absolutely F him. Do all that stuff that guy just wrote in the letter. You do that to Chapman.
Right.
Because, you know, if he doesn't do what he did... Hey, listen, we don't have to listen to Ringo Starr sing, "She's beautiful, she's 16, and she's mine."
Okay?
We don't have to hear, "Oh my, my,
oh my, my." Photograph.
Right. Well, Photograph's not bad.
Photograph is on my audition tape.
Photograph is not a bad Ringo Starr.
All I want is a photograph. We wouldn't have those wine cooler ads, though, Don.
Yes. Right, all the bad Beatles stuff. Buzz, hold on.
All right.
More news, more comments coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tell you what, that dang old internet, man, just going on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com. You got them naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
America's most cunning linguist, Don and Mike.
Well, it's a big show today. James Brown was on. Candace Bushnell was on.
Wow. Yeah.
Tomorrow, the return of Match Game 2000.
Yay. Who's going to be our special celebrity?
Maybe Mr. 40. And we're going to be pitching a load for Dennis Franz tomorrow.
All right.
From NYPD Blue. Now here is Buzz again.
Safety groups say it's not just the 15-inch Firestone tires that are dangerous. It's the 16s, too. The 15-inch tires have already been recalled in this country, but in other countries, they've also recalled the 16-inchers.
How you doing, Mike?
I have the 16-inchers.
The Chicago Tribune says Firestone replaced the bigger tires in North Africa, Southeast Asia, the Middle East, and South America, just not here.
I'm just done with it. I'm going to get them all replaced.
And at least 16...
About a month.
And about at least 16 lawsuits have been filed in the U.S. over these bigger tires.
It's not my car.
Safety groups say they'll ask...
That was your wife's car.
I'm kidding. We had a big meltdown because this story came on about other ones.
Right.
And actually, Laura was sitting there. We're sitting at breakfast. She goes, you know, we have Firestone tires on the SUV. And I said, what? And so I went out there. I even called the tire place because I'd just done a little... I'm always switching tires on vehicles and stuff like that. And I called the guy. He said, oh, those are the, like, Steel Techs. Firestones, and they weren't even part of the expanded recall.
Ah.
But I still see that name on there, you know. They might as well say, Masatoshi Ono.
Right, Firestone equals death.
So I'm not sure what to do, but I think perhaps a trip down to the local tire store Get me some Michelins.
From now on, when someone dies, you're just going to say, hey, they Firestoned.
They Firestoned, right. Firestone, Bridgestone.
Yeah, right.
Massa Fulciono. German. Bridgestone, Firestone.
Tombstone Tires.
We are currently bringing more tires in from Japan.
These American tires have been manufactured. They are false. They're faulty. We will airlift more from Japan. Safety groups say the Alaska federal judge to make Firestone recall the 16-inch tires in this country as well. Ford and Firestone.
All of them? I mean, does it say all of them?
I guess just the ones in that group that are similar to the 15-inches.
Yeah, there's so many. You know one thing I've learned about it, because when I did do a little research.
Just the ones that are exploding, Mike.
Yeah, they are amazing. I mean, how many, like, derivatives of these tires? Yeah. They're all over the place. I mean, they're these, you know, you have the Steeltex double-belted steel ply. Those are only the 16-inch. Steel, you know, they have lots of different varieties.
A lot of different models.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
Ford and Firestone both have resisted this additional recall. Surveys showed us to be skeptical of the plan, but the president's release of some of our oil reserve is apparently having some effect. Oil prices fell a bit yesterday, down nearly a dollar a barrel. They fell by nearly $1.50 more last Friday in anticipation of the president's decision, but the White House thinks oil should go for about $25 a barrel, and right now it's still at nearly $32. The price is expected to drop even more in the coming weeks as the reserve oil makes its way into gas pumps and home heating oil trucks.
Listen, the problem is people like my wife, and this is probably the reason really that I have a cold. I get home last night. The temperature outside is about 58, 59 degrees.
Right.
I go in the house. She's got the heat on. Yep. Yeah. You got it cranked up like to 75. I walk in the house, it's like a freaking sauna. The first thing I do, I crank the AC, baby.
Ooh.
So it cools down.
Right.
Then the next thing I know, it's 2:00 in the morning. I wake up because I'm sweating through my clothes. I go back out to the hallway. I check the thermostat. We kind of changed it in the middle of the night, right? She turned the heat back on, back up to 75.
Yeah, but she said you're the master of the house, and she'll just cook your meals and be your sex slave.
I crank it back down to 70. I get up this morning. She goes, oh, it's freezing in here. I don't know how it got so cold. And I go, I don't know how it got so cold.
You need the thing that Mr. Freeze had, where you can have warm blocks in your room and cold blocks in your room. That way you each can be half.
Listen, and I would agree with her.
Cooling chamber.
I agree. And right now, the weather we're in here in the D.C. area, it's too cool for air conditioning.
Uh-huh.
But I maintain it's too warm to have heat. You should just turn everything off in the house. You should have nothing on in the house. I mean, it's
really... Just make it totally natural.
Yeah.
Serious. Don't be serious.
I am being serious.
Just make me laugh the more serious you are. But you do have a cold, I can tell. Listen, now that you mentioned you had a cold, I can tell you have a cold. They should always have... We should be able to control the weather.
I'm serious about the thermostat, though, in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's 56 degrees outside, you don't need air conditioning. But you need air conditioning. You've got a woman who's got 78 degrees in there.
Do you know the one thing I've always wondered about thermostats is, at least on mine, you have the cool heat switch.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered, wouldn't it be nice to have a thermostat or a unit where you never have to worry about that?
It automatically switches.
I think some cars now have that.
I've seen them in offices, but I've never found one, you know, at Home Depot or anything.
You have to go over and physically move it over to heat, and that's by the time you're freezing.
It should be automatic.
Whereas it ought to just regulate the temperature where it's a nice either 68, 72 degrees in the house at all times.
Amen.
I'm with you. Except I like it a little cooler than that.
It's very ecological, by the way.
How cool do you like it?
Do you have a message for me?
Yes, I do.
I'm sure this would warm up whatever temperature I was going to give you.
Yeah, that's too warm.
Would you like to dedicate that one to Candace?
Candy.
That fart, the live fart on air, brought to you by Egar's, the hottest cigar site on the planet, www.egars.com.
Oh, boy, it's been a stressful day for the kid.
Buzz, hold on.
All right. Yeah. Oh, man.
Were you done with the oil story?
Close enough.
Okay, well, anyway. Okay, good. We're getting more oil.
I can gush your hair.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Jesus, you're not laying in your own puke, are you?
Kind of like a 5-foot fecal coil of comedy. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Jesus Christ, you're running late. Let's go right to Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Looks like you could get some cool stuff for Christmas or Hanukkah. The latest survey of consumer confidence shows us to be more optimistic than even Wall Street expected. That could mean we're all poised to drop a load of money at the mall just in time for holiday shopping.
What about our Kwanzaa shoppers?
Well, yes, I would include them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Consumer spending makes up about 2/3 of this country's economy, and holiday shopping provides up to 90% of a retailer's annual income.
That's amazing. 90%.
Incredible. Yes,
Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Maury Povich. I wish you a Merry Christmas.
For a while there, it looked as though Microsoft really would have to break itself in two. That's what the government wanted and nearly got when it went after Microsoft this year on antitrust charges. But
you're not going to believe this.
Today, the U.S. Supreme Court said it won't hear the government's arguments, at least not until after the case has gone to an appeals court. Experts say today's ruling means the chances of a Microsoft breakup now are, quote, next to zero.
All right, here's Bill Gates.
Good.
I'm fine with that.
Oh, he's happy.
Yeah, he's... Well,
of course he is. They're keeping the company together. Huh?
Keep grilling me. I definitely found
oh,
it.
Oh, he is Mr. Cocky right Probably. Now.
What about that bad haircut you got? Yeah. There's going to be some kind of punishment.
Oh, good. Yeah, but you are so rich. Are you as rich as they say you are?
That's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah, okay. Sure congratulations.
All right. Too bad money can't buy you a good haircut. I took the circuitous route, but I found it.
What about the rumors that you're just a big old tyrant?
Not a chance.
All right, Sam. Okay.
I've had some problems with your software. You never know.
Hey, yeah, that's not a really good attitude for the head of the company. What's the matter with you?
I've had Windows crash a bunch of times. There's not a chance.
Oh, yeah. You told me there was.
It crashes all the time.
What happened?
Oh,
don't get sick.
Oh, no!
Okay. It's serious when somebody's computer crashes. Don't be a big rich a-hole.
They're going to blow.
Oh, wow.
Who's going to blow? Yes, bitch slapping.
All right, don't get violent. He's not making any sense of
it. Friggin' nerd.
Oh! Oh, that's funny. Bill Gates had a good laugh at our expense.
Friggin' nerd.
What's the matter with you?
You think you could have escorted Candace Bushnell? Why?
Why? What kind of comment is that?
Because she's beautiful. Do you think you could have escorted Candace Bushnell? Bill Gates. Gotta hate them.
Well, he's talking about us, obviously. Well, you just answer our question.
Could you have scored with Candace Bushnell? He's a schoolyard bully. Who's that? You talking about Mike? Could you have scored? I think I might.
Ah,
there's
there you
an
go.
Answer. Finally.
All right.
He's like the human magic eight ball, isn't he?
Fag.
Silly, you might want to check it out.
Right.
Big fag.
She gets around.
Oh, well,
Candace Bushnell does.
Oh, yeah.
Think so.
Well, yeah. Hey, read the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because of today's good news from the Supreme Court, Microsoft stock is headed back up again. I'm still waiting for it's the lay of the
Who
land.
Who cares?
Where's it's the lay of the land?
Okay, hold on. It's hard to live the straight, sober life.
She does have a nice rack, though. I'll give that to her.
Yeah, it's the most retarded thing I've ever seen in my life. It's pathetic. If there were no Matt Damon, no Ben Affleck.
Well, it's way more retarded than that.
I agree with that. Oh, what could it be?
That sounds like fun.
It's coming up, Rob. That is the lay of the land, my friend.
Ah, finally.
That's your way. But hold on.
All right.
We got to do this. Thank you, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
For your commentary. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
Come on, Pebbles. You too, Dino. Daddy's speaking on the radio.
Where opinions are like cowboy hats. The Don and Mike Show.
I don't know about anybody else. I'm freaking exhausted from today's show.
I could do another 4 hours.
I'm going to Buzz right now. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The Bush campaign is telling the FBI it ought to investigate the Gore campaign.
Nice Bush.
Goes back to the videotape of W rehearsing for his upcoming debates with Al Gore. When that tape fell into the hands of Gore's people, they notified police. But the Bush people say one of the Gore people bragged about having a mole in the Bush camp.
Nice Bush.
The FBI has talked to Bush's campaign people about this, but reportedly hasn't interviewed Gore's people.
Oof, my boy caught up, you know.
Yeah,
caught up
in the polls and
yeah.
In
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right. Today it's a dead heat again. Has a small lead again in some polls. A so-called Christian group is trying to run a TV ad that questions the sexuality of Hillary Clinton. The Virginia-based Christian Action Network includes these words. It is rumored that Hillary Clinton is a lesbian who supports homosexual marriage and will leave her husband upon taking office. Bill Clinton had an affair with Monica Lewinsky. Sometimes rumors are true, end quote. The New York Post says two television stations there have already turned down the ad as unacceptable for airing, but the so-called Christian group says it thinks it can find a station or two that will air the ad.
Christian group.
Christian.
I bet CBS 2 runs that. That'd just be my thought. If their money's green, I bet CBS Channel 2 runs that.
I hear their new logo is a hawk.
Right. I bet they run it every hour on the top of the hour.
Last week, Charlie Sheen was estimating that he's done 5,000 women. Today, his dad says that half of Hollywood is sleaze. Martin Sheen, who plays a beloved president on TV's West Wing, says he agrees with Joe Lieberman's view of show business. The Democratic vice presidential hopeful has been slamming movies, music, and television for their emphasis on sex and violence. Quoting Martin Sheen, a lot of what we do has very little to do with art. It has to do with sleaze and gratuitous sex and unnecessary violence.
You know, here's the thing about Martin Sheen that pisses me off, and I'm going to take the election out of it now with Lieberman and everything else.
All right.
What pisses me off is Martin Sheen is one of those guys who wants you to think that he really cares.
Right.
But I got news for you, Martin Sheen. If you really cared, you'd quit all these other jobs and you'd go join the goddamn Peace Corps. Because right now, the way Martin Sheen has it, he marches for people's rights.
He's very active. He's quite an activist.
He has a sit-down strike.
Right.
He gets arrested every once in a while just as a show of solidarity because he's there.
Right.
But then he gets in his limo and goes to his mansion.
He doesn't like gratuitous violence in movies. Anybody see Apocalypse Now?
Yeah.
And Martin Sheen didn't mention the assassination attempt on his own show.
Right.
Or the exploits of his horny son, Charlie.
You know, it's one thing for a politician that hasn't been in any movies to say something. It's another thing for a guy that's been in,
who's made violent movies.
I remember when he's sitting there and he gets the head thrown into his lap in Apocalypse Now. Mm-hmm. And then the way he kills Brando at the end of that movie when they're showing what looks to be a real cow being slaughtered.
There you go. Well, there's a point. If you really believe this, if you really in your heart think, and take the crap with the violence on TV and everything out of it, if you really believe your mission is to help people,
right?
Then give up the $25 million a year job. And go do it.
You know, the only bone I have to pick with that, they talk about trailers in Hollywood, and the only thing I think, if you're taking a kid, a small child, to a movie, a theater, and you're going to go see a movie that's, Chicken Run, right? The trailers that they put on those movies should be, not for adults. They should be for kids. And there was one thing I saw.
Generally they are.
And I'm not talking about sex or violence. I'm just talking about scaring kids. I had my 3-year-old at Chicken Run and they put that Grinch promo on and it scared the crap out of her and it scared half the people in the audience. But that's not an issue of morality or violence.
No.
It's an issue of common sense and being a little smarter so that kids don't get scared.
Well, our movie rating system, partly by adding more specific information about why movie got the rating that it did.
The thing is, when you're talking about movie trailers, specifically this issue, and I'll tell you why. Because when you see a movie, you make a decision to go see that movie, you take your kids to that movie, then you're in the theater and you're because you want to see that movie. What they put on the trailers is anybody's guess, and I wish they just used a little more common sense when they're doing that. You know, as far as content of movies, nobody censor that. That's whatever they want to do.
Well, they do plan to ban the showing of previews of R-rated films and G-rated movies, but the producers aren't exactly rolling over to play dead either.
That's common sense.
That's not censorship.
Right, exactly.
Right. That's just being smart.
Common sense. They'll talk about the evils of censorship at this hearing tomorrow. Motion Picture Association President Jack Valenti was told to stay away from tomorrow's hearing on Capitol Hill.
He's not going to stay away from the coffin.
The producers who will testify have been meeting with him all week leading up to the hearing.
Death breath. He really does look. He's like the giant head, too. He really looks like one of those little baseball players you put in the back of your car.
Odd looking.
Hey, Jack Valenti.
The woman who pushed her sons into a lake and then cried kidnapping on TV has been banging her prison guards. Now,
is this the lady that pushed the car into the lake?
Yes, remember Susan Smith?
Well,
now a second guard has been arrested for allegedly having sex with her.
Oh, God.
This guard, a captain, faces up to 10 years in prison now for the crime of sexual intercourse with an inmate.
I know, that's amazing. G. Gordon Liddy will tell you, prison guards are some of the finest human beings you're going to want to meet.
They're smart, too. Smith says it happened more than once, and the arrest warrant says the guard has confessed to this. After her encounter with another guard, Smith was treated
for a sexually transmitted disease.
Oh, my. She got the drip, drip, drip.
All right.
And here she is right now.
Let's listen.
It's not cute. The tape of Susan Smith is not cute.
Well, she's been treated.
True. Yeah.
What do you have to say about her venereal disease?
Well, she's going to talk about the guy who gave her the venereal disease.
We're looking forward.
She's going to talk to the guy who gave her the drip.
What is she going to say when she... Is it still re-queuing?
It's still re-queuing.
Jesus.
It could be a problem with the bad equipment, or it could be simply the tape, the fact that the tape has been moved from upstairs to downstairs.
Yeah. Or it could be the tape itself.
All right. Pull it out and see. Well, tape appears fine.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
There you go.
Here she is.
There we go.
Talking about the man who gave her the venereal disease.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I did.
You enjoyed it, though. You gave her a lot of pleasure.
I did.
One more, Buzz. Men don't generally give a lot of thought to disposable diapers, but they will now. A new study says disposables can cause your boy to grow up to be infertile and may increase his chances for testicular cancer. Doctors in Germany say the plastic-lined diapers trap heat around the testes.
Well, there's a standard poodle at the O'Mara house that's never going to father a child.
And they say this could impede their development at a crucial stage in the boy's life.
As Hamilton chews on those disposable diapers like there's nobody's business.
The study found that the testicular temperature of boys in disposables was 2 degrees higher than boys in cotton reusable.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just talking about, like, the stuff that's inside.
No, they're talking about...
Hamilton eats it.
No, talking about the fact that the plastic lining traps the heat around the testes.
Oh, okay. Nothing wrong.
And what does that happen? And it makes so the guy can't get boner?
If you do this to a baby during his crucial development, then he could either be infertile. No, he could probably still get an erection, but he wouldn't be able to father children, perhaps. That's the theory anyway. And they say it may also increase his chances of getting testicular cancer.
Do you want that story in a nutshell?
The fertility of men...
Beware of warm balls.
That's it, exactly. The fertility of men in developed countries has declined over the last 25 years, which is about how long disposable diapers have been around.
Right. Okay, Buzz, get back. Time for a toe-tapping touchstone winner. Be the 100th person to call right now. Lovely Lisa.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, she got herself all super deluxe fixed up today because Candace Bushnell was coming in.
Yes, yes.
And I don't even think she had a chance to meet her.
Really? Yeah, she was in and out.
I don't even think she did.
She was in and out. I wasn't.
Be the 100th caller now. Make Lisa's day. She's standing by 877-365-3636. Be call 100 right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I've got to tell you, today was just what I needed. Thanks a lot, Harry.
Barbara, it was my pleasure, Mary.
So you'll pick me up tonight at 7:45?
Oh, well, no, I got a few things to take care of first, but why don't we make it 7:45?
Stop it.
Okay, 7:45.
It's the lay of the land, my friend. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
In sports, the Supreme Court today said it would take up the case of the handicapped golfer. The PGA is still fighting Casey Martin over his need to use a golf cart between shots at PGA events. Martin has a circulatory disorder in his right leg that makes walking a distance painful.
I watched a tournament one time where he had to roll his pant leg up to make a shot because he was right on the bank and in the water. And, I mean, that his leg is literally like a pencil. It's amazing. The guy needs a golf cart. It's just like that pencil. Don's holding up a pencil right
now. Poor crippled boy. Thin and fragile.
Let him do it.
A lower court's already told the tour...
That's enough. He's a teddy bear.
That's not a lawn.
Poor crippled boy. 10-4, good buddy.
A lower court has already told tour officials the law requires them to give Martin a break. That law is the Americans with Disabilities Act. The PGA says the cart would change the nature of the competition, and it argues that no
court... Hey, Martin, you can ride your golf cart, and I hope you whip all the other golfers.
And the PGA says no court has ever told any sport that it has to change its rules.
What are they talking about?
Finally,
you mentioned another big sports story of the day. I mean, we touched on it briefly.
Which one?
That I'm back to supporting the Redskins.
That's right. You have on your Redskins jacket today.
Yes, because somebody famous with the Redskins, who is not the owner, called me today.
Right.
You support the Redskins.
Somebody called me up at home today. Actually called me at home today.
Well, I appreciate you support the team.
And now you are back wearing the burgundy and gold.
Right, yeah, the divorce is over.
Good for you, but I will always root for the Cowboys.
Oh,
that's right.
Welcome back into the fold.
Oh, right. What are you talking about?
How's that little cripple boy doing?
That little cripple boy. Teddy Bear. This is Teddy Bear.
Finally, Brad Pitt's new movie, Snatch, is reportedly being retitled for the American market.
What's it being called, Jennifer Aniston?
No!
Over here...
Jennifer, that's disgusting.
Brad Pitt Snatch. Over here, they'll use the past tense and call it Snatched, which means they won't be using the same slogan here that they're using in Britain. Over there, the ad campaign says, Snatch, opening wide this fall. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No!
Oh!
Listen, we got to go.
Yeah.
We want to thank Candace Bushnell.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the show, Candy. Candace's book is called Four Blondes.
You can get that at Amazon.com.
Bestseller list.
Let me see. She's in Georgetown tonight. She also wants us to hype this up for her. On Monday, the 23rd of October, she'll be in Seattle at Third Place Books. Tuesday, October 24th, she'll be in Portland, Oregon at Powell's. Monday, October 30th, she'll be in L.A. at Book Soup. Thursday, November 2nd, she'll be in San Francisco at Borders Books.
Wonderful.
And just missed her in New York City. Also, thanks to J.B., James Brown, from Fox and Love Hill Sunday. His new show on TLC, The Amazing Science of Sports, premieres next Tuesday.
Good.
October 3rd from 9 until 11. Check your local listing.
We'll say it should be a pretty good show.
Got to go tomorrow. Dennis Franz, a pinch of loaf, and we'll play Match Game 2000.
Hey.
Fantastic. All of that on tomorrow's episode. The price? Call 100. And listen, send us your J.O. tape.
We need more. Keep them coming.
I mean, we're getting desperate. We really are. I found out three of the four tapes that we received that I was talking about yesterday are joke tapes.
Good, like that first one we got?
Come on. So we've only got one serious that we haven't seen.
Oh, boo.
So keep sending the J.O. tapes with the trip to Los Angeles. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Hello, hello.
No. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I am caller 100.
That's the way you do it.
Right. What's your name, my friend?
Harry.
Where are you from?
Leesburg.
Harry, in honor of Candace Bushnell, you have won the Sex in the City prize pack.
Cool.
Don't miss Sex in the City this and every Sunday. New episode this week, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on HBO. Make sure you don't miss the season finale on October 15th.
All right.
That's good.
All right. Harry, thank you, Harry.
Harry.
Thanks, Harry. We will see everybody tomorrow with the all-new episode. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie.
Trusted friend.
Throw your fez in the air. Hey. Oh. Hey, I don't mean wrong fez, a hat. Throw it in the air. Just like Sydney. Tyler Moore. You
What was that?
I, first of the left, I'm just physically exhausted.
Winded.
Spent.
We will see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. So let me leave you swinging.